So quickly tonight, we have four people who will be reviewing officially, but we have more than that as usual. However, the four people, let me just call the first batch so they can come forward immediately. I'll be calling Brother Bright Ogundipe and Sister Adeyanju Etuabasi. So we just go straight to the first session. Let me start with Brother Bright. They'll be reviewing the first day of WOPAC with us, and they, because we have four people and more other individuals, they won't have all the day, you know, to expand. So I want you to just go straight. You don't need to read from your notes, but you can open it. You're permitted to open it, but don't read. Just speak to us from your spirit, thoughts that, you know, the Lord dropped in your heart when you were at the meeting and when you listened also to the message. I'm sure we'll all be blessed. So please bring out your jotters, and if there are questions you have, you know, I'm sure some of them might be willing to answer you at the end of the day. So let's just get to this. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Good afternoon. Good evening, Daddy and Mommy. I want to appreciate the associate pastor. And I want to thank Daddy for this privilege to do review. Praise God. Amen. Okay, to the review. Okay. Praise God. Okay, while I was fellowshipping with the materials again, both the message and the PowerPoint and my notes, it was really a very good time for me to really look into those thoughts again. And then one of the things that really, really struck my heart, that the Lord put in my heart, is that one of the things the Lord began to feel, I feel that the Lord was began to teach me, is that that the foundation for true service is actually, it actually starts from being part of a local church. So people can say, a lot of people have given different context to serving God. People give charity, people give to the poor, people do a lot of things in the hope that they are serving the Lord. But one of the things that I feel the Lord really struck my heart is that you can't say you are serving God without the context of the local church. And then when I mean the local church, it's not just local church, it's not just something general that you are in a church and you are handling camera and you are beating the drum and you are all those things are good, but service is beyond that. Being a worker or being a partner is beyond that. Now that is one of the things that I began to talk about, is that for a saint to be able to serve the will of God, for a saint to be able to serve, it must be apostolic. And apostolic in the context that you must understand it must be within the context of salvation. So salvation is actually the basic of actually our service. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's something that I want to say that the Lord the Lord really imprinted in my heart is that we can. Like in the case of the evangelicals, for example, and the way we have known conventional church, people come to church, they say they are part of a worker in church, and you are doing something in church. Maybe you are drumming, you are playing guitar, you are doing this, you are doing that, and you are serving. And as people are serving, people are also working. People are pursuing their life. People are saying, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a banker, and there are people they are pursuing their life, and the context of their service to God is that they are doing something in church. But service is beyond that. You are doing something in church, or service is beyond the fact that I'm doing something in church. That's the reason why we must understand that's why for a local church like ours here, that salvation is being preached. Our context of service is that we find our place in the program of salvation. The fact that we give ourselves to the word and we grow, and as we are growing, we are seeing our place of how the Lord wants us to serve Him. It didn't give me a different. Daddy used to say something. Daddy said it in the last. That was the first statement that he said in the last workers' retreat, and that was also the first statement. And the first statement that he said was that every New Testament work is apostolic. And he gave a context to that apostolic in the sense that it came with fresh designs from Jesus. That apostolic in the fact that every local assembly, every local church has an expression, has an assignment that the Lord will have the local church, every local church has an assignment that the Lord wants the local church to do. And that really means that there is something that be, and everybody, praise God, everybody has a joint that they are supposed to supply. Meaning that when we get to a local church like this, except we are beginning to participate in that which the local churches is in the spirit, we can't really, really serve. Praise God. We can't really serve. Praise God. Praise God. For example, now the Lord, one of the things that the Lord now began to quicken to me about many of church expression that we have, apart from our corporate gathering, and our church expressions like, okay, we have Soterra, we have teens ministry, we have outreaches and many things that was used to talking about the place of us. Meaning there's some people that the Lord will raise to be kingdom financiers to be able to take their place and begin to serve. I see those places as offices. Places that we are supposed to occupy as individuals. As we are serving God, as we are growing, we ought to be growing into our place. We ought to be growing to be such that we are not just coming to church, we are not just a follow-up member. And anytime you are active is when we say you want to go and follow up people. That you have a place in God's program for this assembly. You have a place in like Crystal Clear Movies and many other. Even as we grow as a church, there will still be more expression of the church that is going to flow out. So I began to see that when they say a saint is apostolic, it first of all is about our maturity in Christ. Praise God. And as we are maturing in Christ, we are also taking our place in the program of salvation on the face of the earth. We are taking our place in the local church to join with the leadership to serve the will of God. Do we get my thoughts? So we are doing camera, this was some, let's see, while we're having watchers prayer meeting. Well, we have a watchers prayer meeting, and Pastor CG was around. And sorry, because much of the thing we prayed about yesterday was also about WOPAC, about that the Lord will help us to align, that the Lord will help us to. Well, I began to also seek the face of the Lord. And one of the things that I began to see is that for us to really, really function in God's design, because everybody has a place in this house. So when they say every joint is supposed to supply, it's not just camera. Everybody has a place in the spirit. That first of all, we need to grow up in Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to grow up in Christ as individuals. We need to grow up in Christ as a community. So that everybody will begin to evolve into their own place. We have an office. Everybody, we have an office in the spirit. We have a place that we are supposed to occupy. And those are some of the things that I began to see. Amen. Amen. And Daddy also mentioned things like, praise the Lord. You know, while I was just preparing today, and some of the things the Lord began to show me is that, how many of us know Hillsong? You know Hillsong? You know, Hillsong is actually the choir of a church. Hillsong is a choir of a church. You know, I was thinking about it today. Jesus Culture, for example. You know, Jesus Culture, I knew Jesus Culture when I was on campus. When that was when people like Kim Walker and all of all those guys, Jim Johnson, all of all those, they were. I'm sure those guys. Our age is not too far. Praise God. And God was just showing me that that is a church. That is the choir of a church blessing the nations. Can you imagine that we are singing song here and everybody is streaming it all over the world? You get what I'm talking about? We'll talk about Sotera here. We talk about, you know, praise God. Even as we grow as a church, the Lord is going to be many expressions. Even in part of the time, that is talking about schools. Schools that we need to have schools. Those are partners that is going to see the grace of God on the leadership. Design the grace of God. Say, God, I want to praise God. So what I'm trying to say is that I want to know the plan of God for my life. I want to know the will of God for my life. It's not just the fact that you want to make money. It's that you want to grow up and identify with the will of God. Identify with your place. Praise God. How many of us want God to use us? You know, we want God to use us, but how will God use you if you don't grow up? How will God use you if you don't evolve to the person that is in God's mind? There is a person that God can use. There is a character. There is a person. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, I was looking at Sister Mercy, for example. You know, listen, was it some time ago? I was just looking at Sister Mercy that she was interacting. I saw that somebody was saying something about the way she interacts with the teenagers and how she has the capacity to come to their level and to minister to them and to impact them and to praise God. Praise God. It's a framing that the Lord has did in her, such that she can stand in that capacity that what Deborah Favor cannot, what the corner that Deborah Favor, Bro Timileni cannot reach. She has the capacity to reach all those corners. And reaching all those corners, she can stand in that place, praise God, and she can minister to them. Praise the Lord. And those are some of the thoughts that was coming into my mind that as people, we need to grow up. We need to grow up as a people. We need to grow up as a community to take our place. We can start with maybe all of all those things. You are sweeping, you are doing this, you are cleaning toilets. You get what I'm talking about? But first of all, service is in the spirit. Service is in taking our place and standing in where the Lord has called us to stand in. And such that the grace of God and the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ can rest on you on that area. And when we talk about workers, partnering with the grace of God in the house, it's not first of all what we do in the natural. It's first of all our identity in the spirit, our identity in Christ, evolving to become the kind of Christians. Praise God. You know, today, while I was, I grew up under Pastor, before I met Reverend, I grew under Pastor Reverend Chris Oyakhiloma. Because when I would go to Oregon and go and buy their tapes, those CDs, and there was no particular message. I can't forget that message. Reverend Yakilume was teaching. He was talking about, the title of the message is The Missionary Christian. I can't forget that message. If you visit that message, he said, all Christians ought to be missionary Christians. But why are we, you know, it's what we call missionary Christians. Actually, because of more light, we are calling an apostolic Christian. Praise God. You are not out there just to make money. Praise God. Do we understand what I'm talking about? In that ministry, I began to discover that many of the churches that they planted in Europe, it was their church members that relocated to UK that were businessmen that planted those churches. Reverend Tom was saying the story that he was saying it in one of the crusades, but in one of the meetings that I watched, he was saying that they got to the territory, the ministers, the CEC members, they had not gone there. Reverend Tom said when they got there, they were asking them, how many are you guys now? They said they are 25. So business people went there and they start 25 branches without like You say, how many are you guys now? So no, those are saints going to a territory. Those are the kind of mindset that people had in Pentecost that made them spread the gospel. And so we can't be hearing higher light and we are living our life. We can't be hearing higher words and what you're after is how you will make more money and how you would, you get that kind of thing. So I want to sponsor the gospel. It's not your gospel. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You get it? Somewhere in my heart, when people say I want to sponsor the gospel, somewhere in my heart, since when I was in India, I don't like that word because it's not your gospel. What we are being called to is to come and obey the will of God. And it's come, and that's the reason why we need to, when we say teaming up with the local church, is first of all discerning grace, serving the will of God, us growing up into Christ. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. So we can't be selfless. We can't be selfish. Praise God. Somewhere something is pushing. We can't be selfish. We can't be selfish. We can't be myopic. There's one thing I used to pray to the Lord for. Lord, I don't want to be myopic. So when we talk about serving, I don't want to be myopic. Praise God. And Daddy was talking about building strong homes, strong families. One of the things that he began to also teach, let me round up with that. We can continue. So one of the things that the Lord began to talk, but Daddy began to talk about, is the place of discipleship. Disciples, people that we embody the message. Amen. People that, my family, I began to see that every area of my life is ascending. Every area of my life is ascending. Our natural is not just the natural. Praise God. You are at the place of work. It's not just at the place of work. I am a family man. It's not just I'm a family man. Praise God. Every expression. Praise God. Every expression, every character, every dimension that we find ourselves is actually to be an apostolic Christian. You know, one of the things that the Lord began to teach me about some of this thing that I'm saying is that, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sorry, Mom. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, praise God. Finally. Praise God. Finally. Everybody say apostolic Christian. You know, Daddy doesn't make so much emphasis about an apostolic Christian. An apostolic Christian, Daddy is talking about selflessness. Selflessness, where we are experiencing conversion by the message. So our life is not just we can't be deep and our life is for ourselves. We have to be changing and much more. Amen. While I was coming to church today, you know, one of the things that came to my heart is just that. Even our natural, we don't make plans. We receive plans. Praise God. Daddy has said it before. And that word began to ring in my spirit is that you are not out there to first of all be the best doctor. You are not out there to first of all be the best lawyer. You are not out there to be the best person in your field. First of all, we are out there first of all to experience conversion. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Praise God. So it is possible that you are in a local church and your natural, God can give you another natural arrangement. Praise God. Amen. You can be a PhD student, for example. Praise God. I'm rounding up. You can be a PhD student, for example. And the Lord, and if as you find your identity in the will of God, as you serve in a local church, you can evolve to just be a children teacher. Praise God. You can evolve to be a technical member. Praise God. Are we getting what I'm talking about? Praise God. So that sending mentality that we are not just out there just to grab something for ourselves. We are first of all here to experience a conversion. And in the conversion, even as we stay, that's why being in a church that emphasizes salvation is very, very important. Because it is actually in true service that we find our place. It is actually as we experience conversion that the Lord purges from within, that we begin to see what the Lord has designed for us within the context of salvation, so that such that we can serve the will of God under our parents within the context of a local assembly. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to believe we all learned one or two things from what our brother just said. Those words are very vital. We must pay attention to them because once we lose focus of those things, we cannot be true disciples. Neither can we be apostolic. You know, Daddy said something about the difference between, you know, being in the fivefold ministry and also being a disciple, that you really... No, sometimes we feel it's only the fivefold ministries, those in that office, those offices are the ones that are commissioned to do these things. He said the work of equipping the saints is for all disciples, meaning all believers. And by that believer, not just churchgoers, I'm sure the definition of a believer, it's clear to every one of us here, that everybody should, you know, have that sense of going out to, and you can't equip other people except you've been equipped. That equipping means you have drawn a measure of judgment through doctrine. You've been formed and you've come into a measure of maturity. Wisdom has raised you. You've interfaced and interacted with the properties that God has supplied by His Spirit. And those words have formed you up. So you can go out there to equip all the believers. In your workplace, you can, you know, influence those in your environment. Sometimes you feel... I only came here to work. You know, you draw demarcations and borders, lines between church, work, neighborhood, and, you know, business. We feel this space is only for business. And so every conversation within this space should only be this. If our parents in Pentecostal, in that order of Pentecostalism, focused on that, the gospel would not have been moved, you know, to the degree to which it was. Many of them had to forego a lot of, you know, comfort to be able to reach out to many individuals. And with the little light they had, they were able to touch the environment. Mama was saying something on Sunday that there was a time she was traveling, I think, towards Ondo State, and she saw a little village and a church was there. Now, people took those things. They're not even, if you ask, the person who would, you know, start that church might not be a minister. The person might not be a pastor or, you know, maybe an evangelist. It might just be a believer who went to that environment and had a nudge in the spirit to just respond to God. But today, many of us are more self-absorbed. We are not really concerned, you know, evangelism as a way, even though it has taken a new faith, but even as it was in those days, we know how many times have you had people, you know, made this money cries. As you used to have them before, people are more concerned and consumed with things they can, how they can make more money, how they can get better in the natural, and not many people are conscious of that sense mentality. But we believe the Lord is equipping us again as a house to have this sense mentality. And how we will be able to profit with that is as we use the words coming to us, as we use those words to grow, because what wisdom wants to do is to build us up. When we are built up with that, we can easily, you know, fit into those frames and be able to reach out to those around us and influence them with the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So we'll go to the next reviewer.
Okay. Good evening, Daddy and Mommy. Good evening, pastors and brethren. Okay. WOPAC Day 1 and Day 2. Going back to the messages, was so much of a blessing to me. I want to actually start from Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9. You know, when we think wisdom is not actually, in talking English, right, wisdom is abstract. But, you know, when Daddy examined this theme, wisdom began to have a face. You know, wisdom began to look like something that we could actually touch. Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her beasts. She has mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She cried upon the highest places of the city, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither." As for him that wants understanding, she said to him, "Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." Verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. My emphasis are on verse 1 through to verse 7. Wisdom has built her house. You know, listening to those 2 days and reviewing over them, Daddy did say that wisdom is strength is a product of wisdom. You know, I was studying and I realized when the Queen of Sheba, when she admired Solomon, all we know Solomon for really is wisdom. But in that scripture, I think it's in both in Kings and somewhere in Chronicles, I think chapter 10, it says that when she saw, you know, Solomon was reported to be a wise man, but there was something she was actually saying. You can't touch wisdom. Wisdom is abstract. You know, so when we think of wisdom for building, we should talk of that wisdom translating into something. Praise God. When you think of wisdom and maybe excellence at that which you are doing, what should come to your mind is what exactly is the product of this wisdom. You know, when a person is said to be wise, it is perhaps by the decisions the person takes or by decisions the person refuses to take. So when we say wisdom for building, as disciples or as families or as churches, because those were the three emphases, it means that as a disciple, there is something in you that there's a product, there is a kind of nature that you are exhuming. You know, it's like a fragrance. You wear a perfume, you don't need to announce that, oh, I'm wearing Tommy. It smells everywhere. So wisdom should be something that just flows out of us and people can actually see exactly what we are made up of. You know, in that teaching on disciples, we looked at Luke chapter 14, verse 25 to 27. Luke 14:25. I wrote here, I said, let me read. "And there went out a great multitude unto him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoso doth bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Daddy was saying, of course, hate here is not I hate my father. But there's something that the Lord really impressed on my heart while I was looking at this scripture. And I wrote in my notes, I said, denial is in bits and pieces. Can we say denial is in bits and pieces? Now, if you are single and you have not learned to deny some things, when it is time to take a decision for marriage, your parents will have their way, even if it's against the will of God. You know, when mommy was saying on Sunday that she traveled when she was in school, I did some of those things. So I remember one time I went all the way, I attended NIFES, you know, in school. I went for one conference all the way in Abuja. I went to my now husband, you know, we went then. And when I told just one of my siblings, my sister who was, you know, on the same page, my other siblings were, you know, they were not going to allow me. But I knew I needed to feed. And when I was in Abuja, my sister put to bed and they just called me. They thought I was in school. "Ah, Yonju, congrats, oh, start coming. Come and take care of your sister." I'm like, "Mio, since school." "Say, where are you?" I started stuttering. Now, those things started from maybe age 20, age 21, age 19. So if by now you are running a master's program in University of Ibadan and you are still running back home because you don't have food to eat, you cannot deny. When there are higher demands placed on you, you find it difficult to say no. Your father will call you one day and tell you they found a husband. You'll be avoiding Pastor Friday. You see mommy and you take the other way. Denial is in bits and pieces. I really want to encourage us that if you cannot deny little things, when there are higher demands, when you say deny your father, mother, those things look really big, right? But little things here and there. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You're not going to die. Like, really. And especially if you now find yourself in company of brethren, you go and confide in pastor. The reason I have not got allowance is because somehow, there will be a way around it. So I really want to say that this denial is something that we must do and we must be ready to do in little bits so that when the bigger denials come, they wouldn't catch us unawares. The Lord will strengthen us in Jesus' name. The other emphasis that came to me is the issue of integration and accountability. You know, I once had occasion to speak to someone. I said, when people are asking about your life, do you seriously think that people don't have things to do? Like, if you were to, maybe, of course, our pastors, who are the ones who are really saddled with most of that responsibility, they have 101 things they are thinking about. Somebody is now calling you, and where did you go? And you are saying they are intruding into your life. You cannot have brethren life except you are among. Salvation and the inheritance is given among. Once you stray, the wolf will come for you. There are no two ways about it. If you are in the, you know, even when you watch National Geography, there is this thing about a company. Even if they are just some animals that look really timid, maybe a herd of sheep, the fact that they are together, there is a form of, it's formidable. Thank you, Daddy. There's protection. Something just tells you that you are just among. So when people are trying to, you know, I'm taking this from the teaching on, you know, strong families, that's households. In the households where we belong, nobody is really interested in knowing how much you earn. I mean, like, seriously, it's just to help us to be accountable and help us to be more responsible. You know, so integration is something that we must be very intentional about. You know, Mommy usually says after church, who are those persons that you greet? I'm just hoping that maybe we can tell ourselves that this Sunday, I would not greet anybody whom I'm familiar with. Can service just end and I walk to that sister at the extreme whose name I do not know, that brother over there whom I've never spoken to, and I just want to know how the person is faring. You know, we must be very intentional about integration. And when we are called to accountability, you know, this is for each and every one of us. We should not see it as a form of intrusion. You know, maybe as couples, you are married for 2 months, you are married for 6 months, and somebody who is married for 3 years is asking you how you are faring, and you're like, it's my marriage. Hello, that is not your marriage. It is that your husband is our thing. Your husband is my brother. My husband is your brother. If we get to a point where we see it literally in that manner, we would not see anybody as been poking their eyes into our affairs. Your affair is my affair. Your work is my work. You have a right to ask me how I fare at work. You know, at the time I had a challenge, you know, at work where I, you know, about some issue of timing, blah, blah, blah. You sign one time, they say you sign another time. And it didn't look like a big deal, but it began to look like a big deal at some point that I was not conforming to certain. And I told my husband, and he'd be like, of course, it's not like I did not know the right thing, but at that point I just needed to talk to someone. This thing is, it looks small. It's not just to sign the time, but somebody else feels if you sign that time, the person is deprived from signing. You know how those things work in public offices and all that. But you know, I found, even at my brethren at home, you know, if I'm running late, they're like, let's hasten up, so you must sign in. I want to clock in today. Because I know that I had people who were helping me to obey something at my workplace. You know, in your business, brethren can ask questions. We have a platform, KBN. They said, come, let's examine your business. You are hoarding your business. Last, if you make profits, you're going to be glad and excited about it. So integration and accountability really is for our safety. I pray the Lord will stir up our hearts in obedience in Jesus' name. You know, Daddy also mentioned while speaking on households about alignment, how that our households should be extension of the church. You know, I was speaking with, I think it was Tega, on Pastor GP's birthday. You know, we're just gisting and all. And he said, Daddy teaches what pastor teaches in church. You know, that was very beautiful. And that's exactly how it should be in our homes. As parents, we are expected to ask our children, what were you taught today? Help the children church reinforce what they are being taught. Help the church. Thursday meetings, the children are learning. It was during teens program, one of those under 10 wrote a question and asked Pastor Mike. He said, how can Jesus be a man and a spirit? Under 10. It was not them teenagers, under 10. In fact, I had to rewrite because the spellings were not so accurate and I had to. But I was very thrilled. And under 10 is asking, how can Jesus be a man and spirit? So who says they are not listening? Talking about strong families, we have a responsibility to really groom these children. You know, during Family Life Summit, there was emphasis on raising godly seeds, you know, that God can actually receive unto himself. You know, we are trusting God that by the time our children are grown, there wouldn't be so much of, there are some things that like cobwebs. You know, I call them cobwebs in the spirit. I tell my children, say, Bubu Jankari, worry, Mati, Modano. You know, I'm trusting God that we can raise children whom heaven will look upon and heaven will take pleasure in the name of Jesus. You know, also during that teaching, particularly on day one, Daddy mentioned that some indices of strong families, the strong manhood, strong mothers, of course, mothers not talking about just being beautiful on the outside, but adorning of a meek and a quiet spirit. That's in, I think, First Peter, you know, and also having a very strong love bonding amidst the household. We should have, we are trusting God that as we evolve, we're going to be a community where, you know, we'll have mothers who are highly disciplined. You know, sometimes I feel that if we trust one another so well, I can entrust my children to be disciplined by another mother in the church. Not even perhaps a mother. Occasionally I do that. You know, I particularly maybe faithful. You know, on maybe two occasions, there was something Daniel did. I could have disciplined him, but intentionally I told her, speak to this matter. You know, we should come to that place where we can trust brethren with our children. And that also tells you that there should be a stature that you should also have for parents to trust their children with you, so that the counsel you'll be giving would not be a contradiction to what the parent has been laboring in the place of prayers and teaching to instill in that child. So you do not just give it to the child and say, help me speak to the child. You now scatter the child's heavens, you know. So we are trusting God that all of us together, because these children, really, they are our children. You know, I tell the brethren in my household, maybe something happens, and I say, God will ask you. Hey, you were not at home. I say, hey, I was not at home. Why did you not deal with that matter? You know, these children are ours. These brethren, this community is ours. And this is actually where, this is all we have. You know, when I was looking at discipleship, Daddy was talking about the image that God has in mind is for us to actually come to a stature where we look just like Christ. You know, and I was just praying this morning, and I was looking at how that when Jesus was to be betrayed. Now, this is a natural illustration, but I found expression for it in the spirit. It took Judas to betray Jesus. Why? Because they could not even tell who exactly amongst all of them was Jesus. You know, and I ask myself, can I have such a stature that I look so much like Christ? Can I exude faith, hope, charity? Can I be so sweet? Can there be such a fragrance coming out? You know, imagine everybody in this auditorium wearing a perfume, and all this perfume is just infusing into one another. You know, it's going to be anybody who comes in. There's a way, you know, I used to have an uncle that, you know, if he wears a perfume, if you enter into his room and you come out of his room, I don't know how. You know, he just comes visiting and he just says, how are you? And he just, by the time he's going, you'll be smelling of his perfume. You know, can we be such believers that our lives will so much exude Christ? Somebody buys your product and the person leaves. It's only shoes I went to buy from Brother William, but there was something he saw. You know, can I be such a person in my place of work that you want to come back again and again and again? Not because of the service, you know. Discipleship is beyond, we're carrying Bible, we know the Gospels, we can cut them offhand. It's about the very life, you know, that's what I'm trying to drive home this evening. It's about the very life that we are oozing out, you know, in our places of work. I also found in my heart while preparing that, to encourage brethren, that even when in places where you work, nobody should on account of you and say, church, we're going to learn. You know, it sounds like things we used to hear in Pentecost, but it's a shame if it happens to us now. Maybe I introduce you to my place of work to come and do carpentry, and then you now run away with the money. We are saying how, but perhaps, maybe not that bad. Something close to that might have happened. You know, we're trusting God that we'll have a community where we can gladly recommend one another, and you are not looking back. You know, I'm trusting God that, you know, I'm sure that is what is in the heart of our parents. And we're going to exude this lifestyle and this doctrine so much that will be so beautiful that we're going to be strong disciples. We're going to raise strong families. Our households will teach the gospel, because it is strong disciples that really make strong households, and strong households make strong churches. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah. That was very profound. Thank you so much, Ma, for going into those angles. I thought we were only going to stay on the first day, but you went into the second day as well. Really, we still have another set of people coming to bless us tonight. So I would have to release my brother and my sister. Can we put hands together for them? Thank you so much. Okay, while the second batch, while we wait for them, I'm going to call Brother Taiwo. He was sitting here. He has disappeared. Oh, Jesus. Is he at the back? Okay, what about Brother Darry? Brother Darry, please, you can suspend that. Your name came to my heart. I felt there is a lot. The Lord will have you. Hallelujah. Please, someone can, from the technical team can help him undo the stand, please. You're welcome, brother. Can we put our hands together for Brother Darry? Brother Darry, you're welcome. Okay, so Daddy said a lot of things on the first. Which of them, let me give you the liberty, day one or day two? Which of them do you think? Day one, okay. Okay, they will need you to move into the frame of the camera. All right. Oh, do you want to sit?
No.
Okay. All right. So Daddy said something about, you know, the scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19. Please let me go to that scripture where he spoke about, you know, baptism into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he spoke about discipleship at each of this level. Do you remember some of the thoughts he shared around it? Maybe you could just, if you want okay. to.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
No, you can look at them, not at me, actually.
I'm looking.
Okay, because of the camera.
Okay. That is, spoke about the scripture. He said, for we to be able to go, according to this scripture, to go into all nations.
He's the one, and he used to handle the camera. So now they want to see your face in there.
So it must be with an apostolic spirit. So meaning, because the people that were told this, they were the apostles. They were the disciples then.
Use the mic, please.
So.
The mic, sir. Or I should add mic.
No. Pass them out.
Okay.
So, meaning, for us to go here into the all nations. Let's talk about all nations. It's not just it's not countries, as
yes.
you know. There are tribes. Talking about Nigeria, we have over 200
ethnic groups.
Groups in Nigeria. So for us to go into all nations, we mean one in each name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which we've been taught before. It must be with an apostle.
That part, that's serious. Okay. Ma? Sister Teju, please let's all rise together. Mommy nominated you, Sister Teju. Thank you, Mommy. Sister Teju, please let's have you here. And please make it very fast. You know, there is something very important. Many of us feel, hallelujah, while Sister Teju is making her way right here. Let me quickly pass this across to us. When we come for meetings, we don't really come with our hearts prepared many times. And so you can get carried away with doing one activity or the other. So that was why Daddy spent a lot of time stressing that your function in the church is not really what makes you a true disciple. It's a thing, it's a state of your heart. So you can be behind the camera and the whole day, or you were behind the projector conversation and be glad. That you will see that which you have wrought in us, and you will be delighted in what you will see. You will be pleased, oh God, at that which you will see us become in you. So Lord, we pray that you will help everyone in this place to be committed to this one cause of carrying our cross, denying ourselves daily, carrying our cross and following after you. Denying all and letting go of everything, loving you more than anyone and anything. Cause our love for you to grow and increase. Let it abound yet more and more, O God, in all knowledge and all judgment. We pray that you will breathe upon our hearts, Lord God. Let this be a house of hungry men and women, men who pant after God day and night, men who seek for you, men whose hearts really desire to become like you. We pray that you make this become our realities, O God. Our words will not be different from that which you find in our hearts. We will not be far away from you with our hearts. But Lord, everything will align even unto you. We thank you, our God. Thank you, our Father. Lord, we also want to thank you one more time for WOPAC. Thank you for the resources you gave. Thank you for the mercy that you supplied. Thank you for the wisdom you gave your servant to bring forth your word. Thank you for strengthening him. Thank you for the strength that you give to him. Thank you for utterance. Lord, we thank you for that which you've done. And so we pray that you cause this work to be established in every soul. Let us not lose out on the blessings of God for us. We thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you welcome your neighbor? Welcome someone sitting beside you. Tell them they are welcome. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Thank you so much for where you stand in the Spirit and that which heaven is doing in you for us. We thank God for raising you and for making you an example, a worthy example in the faith. We thank God for the labor as well. How many of you were around last week? If you were not around last week, let me see your hands. You were not around last week. Throughout last week, you were not around. Okay, everybody. Okay, just one person wasn't around. Everybody was around. Well, I'm going to be justified tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not saying hallelujah again. Praise the Lord. Was it because of what I said? I'll be justified. Only one person is not around. So you're safe, my sister. You're raising your hand now. I didn't see your hand earlier. Hallelujah. We thank God for the blessings God gave and sent to us. Last week, it was such a power-packed week. Day after day, from Tuesday to Sunday, the Lord kept bringing blessings to us. And we thank God for that which heaven has brought. The essence of this review really is not, it's not a routine, really. It is for the establishment of this word, for many of us to return to those messages and many of us to gain deeper insight into what the Lord has in mind for us. So I'm sure since you were around, there are still things that are thoughts that are fresh in your heart that you were able to hold on to during the meeting. I believe that all that heaven has done will remain permanent and much more will build with them. We're going to walk with them. We're not throwing them away. We're not neglecting them. Neither are we ignoring them. But by the grace of God, we'll be faithful to use them. So quickly tonight, we have four people we'll be reviewing officially. But we have more than that as usual. However, the four people, let me just call the first batch so they can come forward immediately. I'll be calling Brother Bright Ogundipe and Sister Adeyanju Etoabasi. While they are on their way to the front, please, I need another mic here. I need another mic. While you're coming, please, you are to bring the mic, please. In fact, since you are the one, you just come here with the mic. You're welcome. Help me put my hands together for Brother Femi. Put your hands together for Brother Femi. Please, you can sit. You're welcome, Brother Femi. The mic looks good on you. You were around at WOPAC. So just share in 1 minute how you were blessed from the teaching on the first and second day. You can pick any of them. We are waiting. Just 1 minute. It could be just one word that the Lord communicated to you. Sir? You can't say anything. The mic is not working. Can you come later? Can you come later, church? Yeah. Okay. Wow. Wow. Charity. Thank you. So you will come later. All right. So we just go straight to the first session. Let me start with Brother Bright. They'll be reviewing the first day of WOPAC with us. And because we have four people and more other individuals, they won't have all the day, to... So I want you to just go straight. You don't need to read from your notes, but you can open it. You're permitted to open it. But don't read. Just speak to us from your spirit, the thoughts that, the Lord dropped in your heart when you were at the meeting and when you listened also to the message. I'm sure we'll all be blessed. So please bring out your jotters. And if there are questions you have, I'm sure some of them might be willing to answer you at the end of the day. So... let's just get to this. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Good afternoon. Good evening, Daddy and Mommy. I want to appreciate the associate pastor. And I want to thank Daddy, for this privilege to do review. Praise God. Amen. Okay, and to the review. Okay. Praise God. Okay, while I was fellowshipping with the materials again, both the message and the PowerPoint and my notes, it was really a very good time for me to really look into those thoughts again. And then one of the things that really, really struck my heart, that the Lord put in my heart, is that one of the things the Lord began to feel, I feel that the Lord was began to teach me, is that that the foundation for true service is actually, it actually starts from being part of a local church. So people can say, a lot of people have given different context to serving God. People give charity, people give to the poor, people do a lot of things in the hope that they are serving the Lord. But one of the things that I feel the Lord really struck my heart is that you can't say you are serving God without the context of the local church. And then when I mean the local church, it's not just local church, it's not just something general that you are in a church and you are handling camera and you are beating the drum and you are all those things are good, but service is beyond that. Being a worker or being a partner is beyond that. Now that is one of the things that I began to talk about, is that for a saint to be able to serve the will of God, for a saint to be able to serve, it must be apostolic. And apostolic in the context that you must understand it must be within the context of salvation. So salvation is actually the basic of actually our service. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's something that I want to say that the Lord really imprinted in my heart is that we can, like in the case of the evangelicals, for example, and the way we have known conventional church, people come to church, they say they are part of a worker in church, and you are doing something in church. Maybe you are drumming, you are playing guitar, you are doing this, you are doing that, and you are serving. And as people are serving, people are also working. People are pursuing their life. People are saying, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a banker, and there are people they are pursuing their life, and the context of their service to God is that they are doing something in church. But service is beyond that. You are doing something in church, or service is beyond the fact that I'm doing something in church. That's the reason why we must understand for a local church like ours here, that salvation is being preached. Our context of service is that we find our place in the program of salvation. The fact that we give ourselves to the word and we grow, and as we are growing, we are seeing our place of how the Lord wants us to serve Him. The thing gave me a different, Daddy used to say something. Daddy said it in the last, that was the first statement that he said in the last workers' retreat. And that was also the first statement. And the first statement that he said was that every New Testament work is apostolic. And he gave a context to that apostolic in the sense that it came with fresh designs from Jesus. That apostolic in the fact that every local assembly, every local church has an expression, has an assignment that the Lord will have the local church, the Lord will have the local, every local church has an assignment that the Lord wants the local church to do. And that really means that there is something that be, and everybody, praise God, everybody has a joint that they are supposed to supply. Meaning that when we get to a local church like this, except we are beginning to participate in that which the local churches is in the spirit, we can't really, really serve. Praise God. we can't really serve. Praise God. For example, now the Lord, one of the things that the Lord now began to quicken to me about many of church expression that we have, apart from our corporate gathering, and our church expressions like, okay, we have Soterra, we have teens ministry, we have outreaches and many things that Daddy was used to talking about, the place of us. And we need some people that the Lord will raise to be kingdom financiers to be able to take their place and begin to serve. Those are, I see those places as offices, places that we are supposed to occupy as individuals. As we serve, as we are serving God, as we are growing, we ought to be growing into our place. We ought to be growing to the church that we are not just coming to church, we are not just a follow-up member. That, and anytime you are active is when we say you want to go and follow up people. That you have a place in God's program for this assembly. You have a place in, like Crystal Clear Movies and many other. Even as we grow as a church, there will still be more expression of the church that is going to flow out. So I began to see that when they say a saint is apostolic, it first of all is about our maturity in Christ. Praise God. And as we are maturing in Christ, we are also taking our place in the program of salvation on the face of the earth. We are taking our place in the local church to join with the leadership to serve the will of God. Do we get my thoughts? So we are doing camera. We are doing this. While we're having watchers prayer meeting. Like we have a watchers prayer meeting, and Pastor CG was around. And sorry, because much of the thing we prayed about yesterday was also about OPAC, about that the Lord will help us to align, that the Lord will help us to. Well, I began to also seek the face of the Lord. One of the things that I began to see is that for us to really, really function in God's design, because everybody has a place in this house. So when they say every joint is supposed to supply, it's not just camera. Everybody has a place in the spirit. That first of all, we need to grow up in Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to grow up in Christ as individuals. We need to grow up in Christ as a community. So that everybody will begin to evolve into their own place. We have an office. Everybody, we have an office in the spirit. We have a place that we are supposed to occupy. And those are some of the things that I began to see. Amen. Amen. And Daddy also mentioned things like praise the Lord. You know, while thinking about these things, and you know, while I was just preparing today, and also one of the things the Lord began to show me is that how many of us know Hillsong? You know Hillsong. You know, Hillsong is actually the choir of a church. Hillsong is a choir of a church. You know, I was thinking about it today. Jesus Culture, for example. You know, Jesus Culture. I knew Jesus Culture when I was on campus. When that was when people like Kim Walker and all of all those guys, Jim Johnson, all of all those. I'm sure those guys. Our age is not too far. Praise God. And God was just showing me that. That is a church. That is the choir of a church blessing the nations. Can you imagine that we are singing song here and everybody is streaming it all over the world? You get what I'm talking about? We'll talk about Soterra here. We talk about, you know, praise God. Even as we grow as a church, the Lord is going to be sending us, the Lord is going to be many expressions. Even in part, for example, Dad is talking about schools that we need to have schools. Those are partners that is going to see the grace of God on the leadership. Design the grace of God. Say, God, I want to praise God. So what I'm trying to say is that I want to know the plan of God for my life. I want to know the will of God for my life. It's not just the fact that you want to make money. It's that you want to grow up and identify with the will of God. Identify with your place. Praise God. How many of us want God to use us? You know, we want God to use us, but how will God use you if you don't grow up? How will God use you if you don't evolve to the person that is in God's mind? There is a person that God can use. There is a character. There is a person. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, I was looking at Sister Mercy, for example. You know, listen, was it some time ago? I was just looking at Sister Mercy that she was interacting. I saw that somebody was saying something about the way she interacts with the teenagers and how she has the capacity to come to their level and to minister to them and to impact them and to, praise God. Praise God. It's a framing that the Lord has did in her, such that she can stand in that capacity that what them brother favor cannot, what the corner that them brother favor, bro, Timilei cannot reach. She has the capacity to reach all those corners. And reaching all those corners, she can stand in that place, praise God, and she can minister to them. Praise the Lord. And those are some of the thoughts that was coming into my mind that as people, we need to grow up. We need to grow up as a people. We need to grow up as a community to take our place. We can start with maybe all those things. You are sweeping, you are doing this, you are cleaning toilets. You get what I'm talking about? But first of all, service is in the spirit. Service is in taking our place and standing in where the Lord has called us to stand in. And such that the grace of God and the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ can rest on you on that area. And when we talk about workers, partnering with the workers, partnering with the grace of God in the house, it's not first of all what we do in the natural. It's first of all our identity in the spirit, our identity in Christ, evolving to become the kind of Christians. Praise God. You know, today, while I was, I grew up under Pastor, before I met Reverend, I grew under Pastor Reverend Kishoya Kiloma. Because when I would go to Oregon and go and buy their tapes, those CDs, and there was no particular message. I can't forget that message. Reverend Yakilume was teaching. He was talking about, the title of the message is The Missionary Christian. I can't forget that message. If you listen to that message, he said, all Christians ought to be missionary Christians. But why are we, it's what we call missionary Christians. Actually, because of more light, we are calling it an apostolic Christian. Praise God. You are not out there just to make money. Praise God. Do we understand what I'm talking about? In that ministry, I began to discover that many of the churches that they planted in Europe, it was their church members that relocated to UK that were businessmen that planted those churches. Reverend Tom was saying the story that he was saying it in one of the crusades, but in one of the meetings that I watched, he was saying that they got to the territory, the ministers, the CEC members, they had not gone there. Reverend Tom said when they got there, they were asking them, how many are you guys now? They said they are 25. So business people went there and they start 25 branches without like, he said, how many are you guys now? So those are saints going to a territory. Those are the kind of mindset that people had in Pentecost that made them spread the gospel. And we can't be hearing higher light and we are living our life. We can't be hearing higher words and then what is after is how you will make more money. And how you get that kind of thing. So I want to sponsor the gospel. It's not your gospel. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You get it? Somewhere in my heart, when people say I want to sponsor the gospel, somewhere in my heart, this is when I was in India, I don't like that word because it's not your gospel. What we are being called to is to come and obey the will of God. And it's come, and that's the reason why we need to, when we say teaming up with the local church, is first of all discerning grace, serving the will of God, us growing up into Christ. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Three more minutes. Sorry. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we can't be selfless. We can't be selfish. Praise God. Somewhere, something is pushing. We can't be selfish. We can't be selfish. We can't be myopic. And there's one thing I used to pray to the Lord for. Lord, I don't want to be myopic. So when we talk about serving, I don't want to be myopic. Praise God. And Daddy was talking about building strong homes, strong families. One of the things Daddy began to also teach. Let me round up with that. We can continue. Okay. So one of the things that the Lord began to talk, but Daddy began to talk about, is the place of discipleship. Disciples, people that we embody the message. Amen. People that, you know, my family, you know, I began to see that every area of my life is ascending. Every area of my life is ascending. So our natural is not just to me. Our natural is not just the natural. Praise God. You are at the place of work. It's not just at the place of work. I am a family man. It's not just I'm a family man. Praise God. Every expression. Praise God. Every expression, every character, every dimension that we find ourselves is actually to be an apostolic Christian. You know, one of the things that the Lord began to teach me about some of this thing that I'm saying is that, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sorry, Mom. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, praise God. Finally, praise God. Finally, everybody say apostolic Christian. You know, Daddy doesn't make so much emphasis about an apostolic Christian. An apostolic Christian, Daddy is talking about selflessness. Selflessness, where we are experiencing conversion by the message. So our life is not just to, it's not just, you know, we can't be deep and our life is for ourselves. We have to be changing and much more. Amen. You know. While I was coming to church today, you know, one of the things that came to my heart is just that. Even our natural, we don't make plans, we receive plans. Praise God. Daddy has said it before, and that word began to ring in my spirit is that you are not out there to first of all. Be the best doctor. You are not out there to first of all be the best lawyer. You are not out there to be the best person in your field. First of all, we are out there, first of all, to experience conversion. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Praise God. So it is possible that you are in a local church and your natural, God can give you another natural arrangement. Praise God. Amen. You can be a PhD student, for example. Praise God. I'm rounding up. You can be a PhD student, for example, and the Lord, and if as you find your identity in the will of God, as you serve in a local church, you can evolve to just be a children teacher. Praise God. You can evolve to be a technical member. Praise God. Are we getting what I'm talking about? Praise God. So that sending mentality that we are not just out there just to grab something for ourselves. We are first of all here to experience a conversion, and in the conversion, even as we stay, that's why being in a church that emphasizes salvation is very, very important, because it is actually in true service that we find our place. It is actually as we experience conversion that the Lord purges from within, that we begin to see what the Lord has designed for us within the context of salvation, so that such that we can serve the will of God under our parents within the context of a local assembly. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to believe we all learned one or two things from what our brother just said. Those words are very vital. We must pay attention to them, because once we lose focus of those things, we cannot be true disciples. Neither can we be apostolic. You know, Daddy said something about the difference between, you know, being in the fivefold ministry and also being a disciple. That you really, you know, sometimes we feel it's only the fivefold ministries, those in that office, those offices are the ones that are commissioned to do these things. He said the work of equipping the saints is for all disciples, meaning all believers. And by that believer, not just churchgoers. I'm sure the definition of a believer, it's clear to every one of us here, that everybody should, you know, have that sense of going out to, and you can't equip other people except you've been equipped. That equipping means you have drawn a measure of judgment through doctrine. You've been formed and you've come into a measure of maturity. Wisdom has raised you. You've interfaced and interacted with the properties that God has supplied by His Spirit. And those words have formed you up. So you can go out there to equip all the believers. In your workplace, you can, you know, influence those in your environment. Sometimes you feel, I only came here to work. You know, you draw demarcations and borders, lines between church, work, neighborhood, and, you know, business. We feel this space is only for business. And so every conversation within this space should only be this. If our parents in Pentecostal, in that order of Pentecostalism, focused on that, the gospel would not have been moved, you know, to the degree to which it was. Many of them had to forego a lot of, you know, comfort to be able to reach out to many individuals. And with the little light they had, they were able to touch the environment. Mama was saying something on Sunday that there was a time she was traveling, I think towards Ondo State, and she saw a little village and a church was there. Now, people took those things. They're not even, if you ask, the person who would, you know, start that church might not be a minister. The person might not be a pastor or, you know, maybe an evangelist. It might just be a believer who went to that environment and had a nudge in the spirit to just respond to God. But today, many of us are more self-absorbed. We are not really concerned. You know, evangelism, as it were, even though it has taken a new faith, but even as it was in those days, we know how many times have you had people, you know, make this money cries. As you used to have them before, people are more concerned and consumed with things they can, how they can make more money, how they can get better in the natural, and not many people are conscious of that sense mentality. But we believe the Lord is equipping us again as a house to have this sense mentality. And how we will be able to profit with that is as we use the words coming to us, as we use those words to grow, because what wisdom wants to do is to build us up. When we are built up with that, we can easily, you know, fit into those frames and be able to reach out to those around us and influence them with the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So we'll go to the next reviewer.
Okay. Good evening, Daddy and Mommy. Good evening, pastors and brethren. Okay. WOPAC Day 1 and Day 2. Going back to the messages, was so much of a blessing to me. I want to actually start from Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9. You know, when we think wisdom is not actually, in talking English, right, wisdom is abstract. But, you know, when Daddy examined this theme, wisdom began to have a face. You know, wisdom began to look like something that we could actually touch. Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her beasts. She has mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She cried upon the highest places of the city, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wants understanding," she said to him, "come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." Verse 7. "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot." My emphasis are on verse 1 through to verse 7. Wisdom has built her house. You know, listening to those 2 days and reviewing over them, Daddy did say that wisdom is strength is a product of wisdom. You know, I was studying and I realized when the Queen of Sheba, when she admired Solomon, all we know Solomon for really is wisdom. But in that scripture, I think it's in both in Kings and somewhere in Chronicles, I think chapter 10, it says that when she saw, you know, Solomon was reported to be a wise man, but there was something she was actually saying. You can't touch wisdom. Wisdom is abstract. You know, so when we think of wisdom for building, we should talk of that wisdom translating into something. Praise God. When you think of wisdom and maybe excellence at that which you are doing, what should come to your mind is what exactly is the product of this wisdom. You know, when a person is said to be wise, it is perhaps by the decisions the person takes or by decisions the person refuses to take. So when we say wisdom for building, as disciples or as families or as churches, because those were the three emphases, it means that as a disciple, there is something in you that there's a product, there is a kind of nature that you are exhuming. You know, it's like a fragrance. You wear a perfume, you don't need to announce that, oh, I'm wearing Tommy. It smells everywhere. So wisdom should be something that just flows out of us and people can actually see exactly what we are made up of. You know, in that teaching on disciples, we looked at Luke chapter 14, verse 25 to 27. Luke 14:25. I wrote here, I said, let me read. And there went out a great multitude unto him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoso doth bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Daddy was saying, of course, hate here is not I hate my father. But there's something that the Lord really impressed on my heart while I was looking at this scripture. And I wrote in my notes, I said, denial is in bits and pieces. Can we say denial? Denial is in bits and pieces. Now, if you are single and you have not learned to deny some things, when it is time to take a decision for marriage, your parents will have their way, even if it's against the will of God. You know, when mommy was saying on Sunday that she traveled when she was in school, I did some of those things. So I remember one time I went all the way, I attended NIFES, you know, in school. I went for one conference all the way in Abuja. I went to my now husband, you know, we went then. And when I told just one of my siblings, my sister who was, you know, on the same page, my other siblings were, you know, they were not going to allow me. But I knew I needed to feed. And when I was in Abuja, my sister put to bed and they just called me. They thought I was in school. Ah, Yonju, congrats, start coming, come and take care of your sister. I'm like, Mio, since school. Say, where are you? I started stuttering. Now, those things started from maybe age 20, age 21, age 19. So if by now you are running a master's program in University of Ibadan, and you are still running back home because you don't have food to eat, you cannot deny. When there are higher demands placed on you, you find it difficult to say no. Your father will call you one day and tell you they found a husband. You'll be avoiding Pastor Friday. You see mommy and you take the other way. Denial is in bits and pieces. I really want to encourage us that if you cannot deny little things, when there are higher demands, when you say deny your father, mother, those things look really big, right? But little things here and there. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You're not going to die. Like, really. And especially if you now find yourself in company of brethren, you go and confide in pastor. The reason I have not got allowance is because somehow, there will be a way around it. So I really want to say that this denial is something that we must do and we must be ready to do in little bits so that when the bigger denials come, they wouldn't catch us unaware. The Lord will strengthen us in Jesus' name. The other emphasis that came to me is the issue of integration and accountability. You know, I once had occasion to speak to someone. I said, when people are asking about your life, do you seriously think that people don't have things to do? Like if you were to, maybe of course our pastors who are the ones who are really saddled with most of that responsibility, they have 101 things they are thinking about. Somebody is now calling you, and where did you go? And you are saying they are intruding into your life. You cannot have brethren life except you are among. Salvation and the inheritance is given among. Once you stray, the wolf will come for you. There are no two ways about it. If you are in the, you know, even when you watch National Geography, there is this thing about a company. Even if they are just some animals that look really timid, maybe a herd of sheep, the fact that they are together, there is a form of, it's formidable. Thank you, Daddy. There's protection. Something just tells you that you are just among. So when people are trying to, you know, I'm taking this from the teaching on, you know, strong families, that's households. In the households where we belong, nobody is really interested in knowing how much you earn. I mean, like, seriously, it's just to help us to be accountable and help us to be more responsible, you know. So integration is something that we must be very intentional about. You know, Mommy usually says after church, who are those persons that you greet? I'm just hoping that maybe we can tell ourselves that this Sunday, I would not greet anybody whom I'm familiar with. Can service just end and I walk to that sister at the extreme, whose name I do not know, that brother over there, whom I've never spoken to, and I just want to know how the person is faring. You know, was very intentional about integration, and when we are called to accountability, you know, this is for each and every one of us. We should not see it as a form of intrusion. You know, maybe as couples, you are married for 2 months, you are married for 6 months, and somebody who is married for 3 years is asking you how you are faring, and you're like, it's my marriage. Hello, that is not your marriage. It is that your husband is our thing. Your husband is my brother. My husband is your brother. If we get to a point where we see it literally in that manner, we would not see anybody as being poking their eyes into our affairs. Your affair is my affair. Your work is my work. You have a right to ask me how I fare at work. You know, at the time I had a challenge, you know, at work where I, you know, about some issue of timing, blah, blah, blah. You sign one time, they say you sign another time. And it didn't look like a big deal, but it began to look like a big deal at some point that I was not conforming to certain. And I told my husband, and he'd be like, of course, it's not like I did not know the right thing, but at that point, I just needed to talk to someone. This thing it looks small. It's not just to sign the time, but somebody else feels if you sign that time, the person is deprived from signing. You know how those things work in public offices and all that. But you know, I found, even at my brethren at home, you know, if I'm running late, they're like, let's hasten up, so you must sign in. I want to clock in today. Because I know that I had people who were helping me to obey something at my workplace. You know, in your business, brethren can ask questions. We have a platform, KBN. They said, come, let's examine your business. You are hoarding your business. Last, if you make profits, you're going to be glad and excited about it. So integration and accountability really is for our safety. I pray the Lord will stir up our hearts in obedience in Jesus' name. You know, Daddy also mentioned while speaking on households about alignment, how that our households should be extension of the church. You know, I was speaking with, I think it was Tega, on Pastor GP's birthday. You know, we're just gisting and all. And he said, Daddy teaches what pastor teaches in church. You know, that was very beautiful. And that's exactly how it should be in our homes. As parents, we are expected to ask our children, what were you taught today? Help the children, church, reinforce what they are being taught. Help the church. Thursday meetings, the children are learning. It was during teens program, one of those under 10 wrote a question and asked Pastor Mike. He said, how can Jesus be a man and a spirit? Under 10. It was not them, teenagers, under 10. In fact, I had to rewrite because the spellings were not so accurate and I had to. But I was very thrilled. And under 10 is asking, how can Jesus be a man and spirit? So who says they are not listening? Talking about strong families, we have a responsibility to really groom these children. You know, during Family Life Summit, there was emphasis on raising godly seeds. You know, that God can actually receive unto himself. You know, we are trusting God that by the time our children are grown, there wouldn't be so much of, there are some things that, like cobwebs, you know, I call them cobwebs in the spirit. I tell my children, say, Bubu Jankari, worry, Mati, Modern. You know, I'm trusting God that we can raise children whom heaven will look upon and heaven will take pleasure in the name of Jesus. You know, also during that teaching, particularly on day one, Daddy mentioned that some indices of strong families, the strong manhood, strong mothers, of course, mothers not talking about just being beautiful on the outside, but adorning of a meek and a quiet spirit. That's in, I think, 1 Peter. You know, and also having a very strong love bonding amidst the household. We should have, we are trusting God that as we evolve, we're going to be a community where, you know, we'll have mothers who are highly disciplined. You know, sometimes I feel that if we trust one another so well, I can entrust my children to be disciplined by another mother in the church. Not even perhaps a mother. Occasionally I do that. You know, I particularly maybe faithful. You know, on maybe two occasions, there was something Daniel did. I could have disciplined him, but intentionally I told her, speak to this matter. You know, we should come to that place where we can trust brethren with our children. And that also tells you that there should be a stature that you should also have for parents to trust their children with you. So that the counsel you'll be giving would not be a contradiction to what the parents has been laboring in the place of prayers and teaching to instill in that child. So you do not just give it the child and say, help me speak to the child. You now scatter the child's heavens, you know. So we are trusting God that all of us together, because these children, really, they are our children. You know, I tell the brethren in my household, maybe something happens, and I said, God will ask you. Hey, you were not at home. I said, hey, I was not at home. Why did you not deal with that matter? You know, these children are ours. These brethren, this community is ours. And this is actually where, this is all we have. You know, when I was looking at discipleship, Daddy was talking about the image that God has in mind is for us to actually come to a stature where we look just like Christ. You know, and I was just praying this morning, and I was looking at how that when Jesus was to be betrayed. Now, this is a natural illustration, but I found expression for it in the spirit. It took Judas to betray Jesus. Why? Because they could not even tell who exactly amongst all of them was Jesus. You know, and I asked myself, can I have such a stature that I look so much like Christ? Can I exude faith, hope, charity? Can I be so sweet? Can there be such a fragrance coming out? You know, imagine everybody in this auditorium wearing a perfume. And all this perfume is just infusing into one another. You know, it's going to be anybody who comes in. There's a way, you know, I used to have an uncle that, you know, if he wears a perfume, if you enter into his room and you come out of his room, I don't know how. You know, he just comes visiting and he just says, how are you? And he just, by the time he's going, you'll be smelling of his perfume. You know, can we be such believers that our lives will so much exude Christ? Somebody buys your product and the person leaves. It's only shoes I went to buy from Brother William, but there was something he saw. You know, can I be such a person in my place of work that you want to come back again and again and again? Not because of the service, you know. Discipleship is beyond we're carrying Bible, we know the Gospels, we can quote them offhand. It's about the very life. You know, that's what I'm trying to drive home this evening. It's about the very life that we are oozing out, you know, in our places of work. I also found in my heart while preparing that to encourage brethren that even when in places where you work, nobody should on account of you and say, church, we're going to loan law. You know, it sounds like things we used to hear in Pentecost, but it's a shame if it happens to us now. Maybe I introduce you to my place of work to come and do carpentry, and then you now run away with the money. We are saying how, but perhaps, maybe not that bad. Something close to that might have happened. You know, we're trusting God that we'll have a community where we can gladly recommend one another, and you are not looking back. You know, I'm trusting God that, you know, I'm sure that is what is in the heart of our parents, that we're going to exude this lifestyle and this doctrine so much that will be so beautiful that we're going to be strong disciples. We're going to raise strong families. Our households will teach the gospel, because it is strong disciples that really make strong households, and strong households make strong churches. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah. That was very profound. Thank you so much, Ma, for going to those angles. I thought we were only going to stay on the first day, but you went into the second day as well. Really, we still have another set of people coming to bless us tonight. So I would have to release my brother and my sister. Can we put our hands together for them? Thank you so much. Okay, while the second batch, while we wait for them, I'm going to call Brother Taiwo. He was sitting here. He has disappeared. Oh, Jesus. Is he at the back? Okay, what about Brother Dari? Brother Dari, please, you can suspend that. Your name came to my heart. I felt there is a lot. The Lord will have you. Hallelujah. Please, someone from the technical team can help him undo the stand, please. You're welcome, brother. Can we put our hands together for Brother Dari? Brother Dari, you're welcome. Okay, so Daddy said a lot of things on the first. Which of them, let me give you the liberty, day one or day two? Which of them do you think? Day one, okay. Okay, they will need you to move into the frame of the camera. All right. Oh, do you want to sit? Okay. All right. So Daddy said something about, you know, the scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18-19. Please let me go to that scripture where he spoke about, you know, baptism into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he spoke about discipleship. at each of this level. Do you remember some of the thoughts you shared around it? Maybe you could just, if you want to.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
No, you can look at them, not at me, actually.
I'm looking.
Okay, because of the camera.
Okay. That is, spoke about the scripture. It said, for we to be able to go, according to this scripture, to go into all nations.
He's the one, and he used to handle the camera. So now they want to see your face in there.
It must be with an apostolic spirit. So meaning, because the people that were told this, they were the apostles. They were the disciples then.
Use the mic, please.
So.
The mic, sir. Or I should add mic.
No. Pass them
out. Okay.
So, meaning for us to go here into the all nations. Let's talk about all nations. It's not just, it's not countries, as
yes.
You know. There are tribes. Talking about Nigeria, we have over 200
ethnic groups.
Groups in Nigeria. So for us to go into all nations, we mean one in each name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which we've been taught before, it must be with an apostle.
That part, that's serious. Okay. Ma? Sister Teju, please let's all together. Mommy nominated you, Sister Teju. Thank you, Mommy. Sister Teju, please let's have you here. And please make it very fast. You know, there is something very important. Many of us feel, hallelujah, what Sister Teju is making our way right here. Let me quickly pass this across to us. When we come for meetings, we don't really come with our hearts prepared many times. And so you can get carried away with doing one activity or the other. So that was why Daddy spent a lot of time stressing that your function in the church is not really what makes you a true disciple. It's a thing, it's a state of your heart. So you can be behind the camera and the whole day, or you were behind the projector projecting, or you had to, you know, be behind the instrument. But at the end of the day, instead of you to receive all that the Lord has sent for that particular ministration, the percentage you are able to receive or hear, or things that, you know, you could take home, would be so little. Why? Because somewhere your heart was not really engaging. So it's one thing for you to come for meetings. It's another thing for you to really be here. And that's really why these meetings, you know, that WOPAC was particularly for workers, so that, you know, we will be equipped for the work of the ministry. It's not really good for us to keep hearing the word. Someone said she heard the message 3 times and she was also here. And, you know, these are very fundamental things we should pay attention to. Because at the end of the day, the Lord is going to ask us about these things, not physically, but, you know, through tests. They're going to bring circumstances to test the words we have heard and see how we have profited with them. So, Sister Teju, please, that part of the, and really that part was very simple. It was very simple. Daddy spoke about those 3 names and he spoke about discipleship. I don't just want to, you know, answer the question directly, but he spoke about discipleship at each of those levels. So that's really what I want people to talk about. You know, how let me not answer the questions, because if I go for that, I'm going to be answering. So did you get that question? Or
okay. What I remember about that particular scripture is that as disciples,
please use the mic.
We ourselves as disciples, we have the responsibility first to grow up into all of these names. And when we grow up into all of these names, it is even in our growing up that we also disciple others. For instance, name of the Holy Ghost, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Ghost is teaching them what is in the name, and they also growing up into the stature or the features of the constituents of what is available in that name. Each of those names have their constituencies that people need to grow up into, and they have features, they are tangible, and they have things that they will show to say, for instance, this person has the name of the Holy Ghost. So baptizing them is teaching them, exemplifying the life to them, so that they can also embody the life therein in the three names.
Okay, thank you. You're very close. Thank you. Can we put hands together for her? So let me quickly answer that. The one major thing that I said about that was this, that if your growth level is in the name of the Holy Ghost, you should be able to minister that name. If your maturity, if what you can handle in terms of your, you know, that which you have attained to in terms of your growth, you should have sufficient authority, skill, and wisdom to administer that name. If it is Christ that you have, you know, grown into, you should be able to walk in that name and impart that knowledge, that doctrine, that, you know, building that God has worked in you. You should be able to give it to other people. And if it's in the name of the Father as well. So those baptisms are not just information in your head. They are supposed to be realms that we embody. So when you are in the realm of the Holy Ghost, you have embodied that life and you can teach others. You can instruct others. And as you keep graduating, the Lord will also expect that, you know, those around you also partake of that. So you can't be in the realm of, you know, milk and all you know is milk. And then, you know, have the authority, as it were, to fully impart what is in the realm of everlasting life. You might do that in terms of maybe information, but, you know, the experience, you are lacking in the experience. So because of that, the life you are supposed to impart will be limited. So that's why we should hasten in our growth. We should hasten if you are at the milk level, you know. And he said that, you know, this scripture came to mind in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I think 15 or 14, when Apostle Paul was saying, I speak this to your shame. Because you lack the knowledge of the Lord. Now, by that, it meant there are things that the Corinthian church was supposed to have attained unto, but because of one reason or the other, they could not match up to that. So they were falling short of it. So some of us say we are in Christ, but you can't do milk. You can't teach milk. You can't communicate milk to, you know, your neighbors or those around you. But you claim to say, I am in Christ. I have the knowledge of Christ. But the life of the milk, you are lacking. So every level of our growth, we should ensure we are grounded. Tell your neighbor, say be grounded. Say be grounded. So if you realize that you're lacking in milk, go back to milk again. No, those materials from egging are very essential for our growth and establishment. Go back again. Go get grounded. Get solid in it. And if it's in Christ, go again. Let them work out that life in you until we come to the fullness, you know, of all the blessings God has prepared for us. So it is essential for us that all these names, we come into them. And then as we grow into them, we will be able to impact the life to the nations. Hallelujah. Okay, so Sister Dio, please. Can we put our hands together for Sister Dio? Oh yeah. We have just 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, Sister Dio. While she's making our way here, Sister Moro. Let's be fast. All of you are workers. How many Moros do we have in church? The way she's looking around, you are the only Moro I know. Sister Daya, Sister Moro, please be fast. If I said she come and collect 1 million now, all of you will run. But this is more than a million naira. Hallelujah. Okay, so that is said something. Just tell me straight and then you can go back to your seat. I will really want to know those who listen to the message and those who were listening and washing or listening and cooking. Hallelujah. The Lord is your strength. Okay, so that is said something about, you know, our sacrifices. You've listened to the message? Please, use the mic. Hallelujah. The mic is working.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So that is said something about sacrifices. And it says something about them. Our sacrifices are the demands the Lord puts on us. The processes that we go through. It says something about them. Just one word. If you can remember. It said, your sacrifices, your, you know, that with the dealings you go through, the commitments or whatever the Lord takes you through is dash. So what's the dash? Because he stayed on it. He said it and then he said it again and again. You can't remember. And if someone said it now, you remember. Please, who wants to help her? It's personal. Can we put our hands together for Sister Diola? Put your hand. If I call you now. Now, it's what again? Personal is unique to you. So the Lord will take you through, you know, the Lord will not take two people through, you know, the same processes. Your cross is customized. And it is essential for you to embrace it. So you should not go ahead being jealous or admiring another person's own when you are yet to carry your own. Stay with yours. The Lord knows that's the way to your salvation. Hallelujah. Okay, you can go. Let me ask you another question. The way you are looking at me, don't faint. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together. Sister Adaya, please. I need you here. So when you listen, listen well. Tell your neighbor, say listen well. Yes, when you're listening, pay attention. Don't be listening and cooking or listening and sweeping. I'm not saying that's what you did, but you know, some people do that. Hallelujah. Okay, you do that too. So confess your sins before the saints. Okay, so Sister Dio, Daddy said something, you know, on the first day. No, let me go to the second day. What did Daddy start with on the second day?
Okay. If I remember well, he said there's a cost to follow Christ. That there's a cost to follow Christ. That is, it doesn't, like, following Christ comes with a cost.
Hallelujah. You got it. Can we put our hands together for Sister Dio? Okay, finally, Brother Ayo. Brother Ayo. Oh, yeah, you're looking at me. I'm looking at you. Oh, yeah. Be fast, Ayo. We have just 1 minute. We have a minute. This is the final for this set. Please put your hands together for him as he makes his way here. Yes, Daddy spent a lot of time, you know, on the second day talking about the cost of discipleship and the reason or the need for us to, you know, count the costs well. So just, it's a very direct question. And you just say it in 1 moment and go. So what was the scripture, major scripture that Daddy used to describe that emphasis on cost of discipleship? There were two. They have mentioned one. There was another one.
I think that's Luke.
Luke what?
I think 12.
Ha. Huh. It's not 12. It's not Luke 12. It's Luke.
I think 24.
Luke 24. No.
No, 14.
What's the scripture? Luke 9. There was one in Luke 9. The one he focused on the second day, at the beginning was Luke 14. About, you know, someone counting the cost, saying that, let me go 9.
14. 25 to 30.
Please give me Luke 9, 50 something, maybe 50 something. Maybe there is another one in Luke 14. It came to pass as they went in the way. Certain man, this is the one I was talking about. I will follow thee whithersoever you go. You know, so, you know, thank you so much. Yes, excuses. Many of us have many reasons why we are not following God. And that following is not just, you know, taking up the work of the ministry, but in even obeying the laws and commandments of the Lord. We all have excuses we give, and those excuses are not tenable. For every of these men, as they kept asking questions, you know, giving excuses, Jesus had answers for all of them to make them know that there was nothing too high as a price for them to lay down in order to inherit the kingdom. So it is important that in carrying our cross, we will have to pay prices. Tell your neighbor, say you have to pay prices. So while the next set of people, Sister Gillian and Brother Sam, can we put our hands together as they make their way here? Sister Gillian, Ogundikpe, and Brother Sam George. So we always have prices are daily. Tell your neighbor, say they are daily. Yes, so the prices you paid yesterday might not be the ones you pay today. But once you set your heart aright that there are costs, you know, to pay, there are prices to pay, we will find joy going through them and we'll find grace, you know, enduring the demands of the way. Hallelujah. Okay, so we will go directly to the last review. Sister Gillian is going to start.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Good evening, Daddy and Mommy. Good evening, pastors. Good evening, everybody. Okay, I'll be reviewing the 1 and 2. Okay, I just want to start with Luke 14, verse 25 to 33, where Daddy was talking about disciples, you know, counting the cost. Okay, I would like us to read it. If you read it, it will also refresh our memory. Please, can you give me Luke 14? Luke 14 from 25. Yes, I'm just... Okay, and there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I remember that he's saying that it's not about hating them like I hate my mom, I hate my dad. But what that particular place is saying is that you're taking your stand to follow the Lord, irrespective of any legitimate reasons. So all that was just to say that your parents are legitimate, your life at least is legitimate. So it's one of, and I remember that is talking about counting our cost, you know, counting our cost to follow the Lord. I remember he was making an emphasis on it, that even at your age, you are not too young to, like at my age, and of course our age, is we are not too young to start counting the cost of following the Lord, because there's going to be so much demand on us as disciples if we truly want to be a disciple of Jesus. If we want to follow through to the end, then we must count the cost. There are a lot of things that the demands of the Lord is going to come on every areas of our life, and when the Lord comes, we must not struggle. We will struggle if we have not counted the cost, because you don't know what the Lord will demand from you. You don't know what the Lord will ask from you as a disciple of Jesus. We've gone at the days when we just come to church to just come to church as norm. We have gone beyond that level. Like my husband was saying the other time about apostolic, Christians. There's more to us, you know. One of the things that scared me was when Daddy was ministering and was saying that our generation in these waters, I mean, not only City Gate, other sister fellowship, that what we are still raising, we are more like those that are going to be sent to go and do the work of, as in bringing, doing the work of the ministry. So all of us, all together, so all of us are in the ministry. Either you are a pastor or you are not a pastor, or you are not, even you that you are saying you are not a worker, Koti by that, then when Tobajue, you will join you join everything. So that what I'm trying to say is that we need to count our cost. That is one thing that is stayed on. And I remember that the reason why when the Lord come to us, or let me say, okay, I wanted to say something about one thing just escaped my mind now. I wanted to say something. Let me just cite the example that came to my mind, so I'll remember what I wanted to say. I remember there was a time mommy was on my neck. There was not on my neck, like she was at home. She was telling me about somebody. Did you see this person? Did you see that person? And did you notice what the person went to church today? I said I did not see. I was like, you don't see things. You don't. Why is it I'm the only one that is seeing it? You know, and it shows that I wasn't responsible, and I'm coming to that level. And see, it starts from there. It shows that we are selfish. And selfish, it's a child, you know, that is like that. Babies are selfish, and there's nothing, it's my state that I am selfish. For me not to be able to take, it's still just within ourselves. I cannot even take responsibility for my brethren that is not dressing well, or that is not paying attention to what while the service is going. All I
care about is myself and other things. That shows that I am still a baby. You know, I cannot even see somebody that is not paying attention or a new member that comes to church that just stroll in and, you know, stroll out and nobody goes to, you know, talk to the person, greet the person. You know, mommy was teaching about greeting the other day. You know, we cannot greet the person. You cannot even follow up that person. It shows that I am selfish, and that shows my state as a baby. Reasons why we all need to grow up at every level, that whatever level you are, maybe it's in the Holy Ghost that you are, or you have journeyed to Christ, or you are in the Father, whatever level, all of us must take responsibility at those. Naturally, when you grow up, naturally responsibility just your sense of it, nobody needs to tell you something. You just know. You'll be able to see. The reason why I could not see things, the reason why I could not just pick up things, it shows that I am in a level, and that's baby. I'm still a baby, and that is why I could not pick up those things. So as disciples that are being raised in the house, we must grow up to a place where we can start taking up responsibilities. And then another thing that Daddy talked on about a disciple is that you must have a relationship with the Lord, a strong relationship with the Lord. You must allow the Lord to raise you. You must have a communion. You that you have not even prayed in the morning, you do not remember to do your normal fellowship. How are you going to take the word? How are you going to be sent to the nations? So it starts from that, our place of devotion. Okay. I don't know if I've been able to do that well. And then I remember Mom, Daddy also said, talk about not being ignorant our cross, not be ignorant of our dealings, things that God is doing in our life, that you must know what the Lord is doing in your life at a particular season of your life. Amen. We should not just being in the corporate gathering, everybody's just, we are going to God. And of course, there are crosses, there are things that you have to, there are times that the Lord wants you to forbear. Maybe it's forbearance they are teaching you at that season. So what exactly can we just, you can just silently ask yourself, what is the Lord even teaching me at this time? You know, you come to church, there's message that you teach about Christ, teach about everlasting life, teach about, and by the time you get back to your home, I'm sure that those words are come, there's a way Holy Ghost drive it down to wherever state you are, and then instruction will start coming to you based on what you have heard. So we should look into that. Amen. Okay. I want to talk about many things. Of course, we cannot. I'm just going to go here and there. Amen. Okay, I want to talk about measurements of strong families. You know, it was talking about strong families, strong churches, and you know, and strong. The strong disciples makes the strong families, and then we have the strong churches. So what makes a strong disciple? We already said it is as we grow up, we have to learn all the names that are in Christ and become them. That is when we can be strong. And of course, wisdom will raise us. Amen. Yeah, so as and household, Daddy said something about house, said a lot of things about household. Talk about how every household must be a place of training, a place where things that you learn in church, you learn charity in church, you learn faith in church. The preaching comes on faith, comes on prayer and all. When you get to the house, household should be a place where it is being monitored. I remember that throughout that meeting, it was just so banging on my heart that we are going to have an urgent meeting on Sunday. Like, we just have to meet. Like, I have to ask people personally, okay, killing God will get me church lane. You have to explain to me, like, personally. And, you know, somehow, it must more like more body come to my, come up. Since we started this household thing, it looks as if I should just send out the people in my house. I'm sorry. Like, because I just feel that I don't have, I've not been doing so well. And I also feel that it's a lot of work. It's actually work to see to it that you stay on people's neck, especially people that are going to give you attitude, that are going to do a lot of things. But well, I have to just do it. It's my, like I was telling them that particular day. I said, see, if they permit me, if at all possible, I will send all of you out of my house. But this one is a duty that has been placed on me, and I have to do it. So don't even give me any face. I am doing my duty. So I have to tell them that if I'm asking, don't give my boju for me. I'm doing what I am being sent to do. And I know that also for bearing that, I'm also growing. So it is vice versa. So, and then the place of, you know, it's talking about that you talk about a manhood where men are strong, you know. I'm also trusting God for my husband, as he, I'm so sure he's also trusting the Lord for me, because it becomes more intense as I heard, you know, this was again that this work is a, in fact, I can say that church service, the church is easy, but in the house where all of us, you know, it look as if it's more. It's more when you are, you know, combating spirits. People will be coming from outside, like the one that's ready for. So they are waiting. They know the question you are going to ask. As they are entering the door, now you are saying, Ekulema, good evening, ma. They know the next question you are going to ask. Where are you coming from? And then they already have what they want to say. And then you too have to have enough maturity in the spirits not to disrespect, not to offend the word, and at the same time correct and also impart spirits. So it's not this thing, it's work. So you know what I'm saying. So you know I'm beginning to believe God for my husband at the same time, all the fathers in the house, that the Lord is going to make us strong, that our fathers will be strong, they will be strong to be able to command their household in the name of Jesus. That's one thing I'm believing God for, that the Lord will give them strength, that the Lord will strengthen them, wisdom will commune with them. That's my prayer, and that's one of the things that is talking. Talk about motherhood, you know, meek and quiet spirit, I've not gotten there, because me, I can shout, and I can rake. You know, when daddy was also ministry, was talking about, you know, not honoring the brethren. I have dishonored the brethren very well, because I can talk, and I can, you know, but though I used to apologize, but I want to come to that place where I will not have to go back to apologize, but I even at that instant, I can correct without, you know, being offensive, and at the same time, you know, nail the whatever it is that is happening at that time. Amen. So I'm also believing God for every of us, wives, and not just wives. You know that he was talking about singles. Okay, I want to talk about this particular place. The thought just come before I forget. It's talking about you know, how submission starts from when you are single. It is not until when you are married that you. I used to tell my sisters, when you serve the brothers, you serve it, you just put it on the table. There is no honor. Why share the same thing for quite sure by Jay? It's not, yes, there is no two way about it. If you cannot honor your brothers that you can see now, is it the brother that you don't even know who is going to be that you are going to honor? So when daddy was saying it that day, oh sure, like I've known this thing a long time. And as any time daddy come up with it, maybe we don't know that it is true. I'm giving you now that it is true. I've lived lived with daddy and mommy, and I had brothers that we were together in the house. I remember when mommy come down from upstairs, and you see the way we put food, we just serve it. You know, and seriously, you know, we behave, we do not know. And really, you will do the same. So I had to start learning from there, and that's what has helped me to this time. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I cannot lie that I did not, that I learned. I actually learned. And of course, my husband is enjoying it. So another thing I want to say is about, daddy said something about elderly sisters in the house marrying younger brother. See, me, I knew. I already knew. If you are sincere, if you have worked with the Lord, you know that at some point you know that the person that you marry, you can be older than that person. Some of you know already. So there is no, there's no, so when the brother come, don't even stress the brother. You already know that the person you are going to marry, that, and if you don't know before, there is no, you see, there's no big deal. Our mothers have done it before. It's, your own will not be the first, and of course, it's not going to be the last. So please, let's quickly adjust ourselves to you. The Lord will help our hearts. It is, there's nothing there. The vision is very high. It's not about loving. I tell you now, is it me and my husband that is living in our house? If they permit me that me and my husband should just be living, and then we are doing, of course, oh, my Lord, will forget. So, and sincerely, I'm not complaining. Really, I'm not complaining. It is the calling. It's household. That's what we have been called into, and we have to do it, because without it, there are many people. I used to tell people in my house that all this thing that you think they are doing for me, you will do it. They will do it for you, but there's no problem. There are people that are going to live in your house. Yes. It's household. And of course, all of us, as we are growing, you are going to have people to come and live. Because you cannot escape it. You understand? I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So, and then talking about strong bonding. You know, that was talking about sisters learning from one another. You are living with somebody, and you know that this person is neat. Why don't you? See, I told people, I learned to cook moi-moi in pastor's house. No, it's not like I don't cook moi-moi before. But I don't know how to cook moi-moi elewe. It was Sister Tinu that used to do it in pastor's house, which she also told me that she also learned from mommy. I learned it from her. There's no big deal. By the time you learn finish, it becomes your own, and you can pass it to others. So don't be pride. It's pride. Shall we? And anytime you are struggling with submitting under, it's foolishness. Just know that it's your state. Just call yourself to order and go and submit yourself. The Lord will give us wisdom. So learn from, I still told some people in my house, some of them are organized, while some are disorganized. You want to were disorganized, they don't need to come and tell you. Are you waiting for when you are going to marry and you get to that brother's house and most brothers are not organized? You now marry somebody that is not organized, your life or everything. So you don't even know, you don't know where God is taking you to. So you understand? So this household thing is a blessing. It's a blessing. Like I used to tell people, I said that all the brethren in my house, like I used to tell them, that they are my blessing. You know, that all of them, they are my blessing. You know, I'm learning from them. A lot of things that the Lord has wrought in me because they are in my house. And there are things that they too, that I'm sure that God is wrought in them because I am be pain in their house. So I can stay on them many times. That, see, this thing, you have to do it. And that is why we are for each other. So learn from one another. Don't be too proud. I remember when I first gave birth, and I used to sit under, I don't used to hear word. All my sisters, they would be telling me, Gillian, so I now have to call myself to that. Gillian, do it like this. I'm sure I will agree immediately without this thing. Why is it that? Lillian will tell me, Gillian, don't, and I will be complaining. And now, it's not like I will complain. I will still do it, but somewhere, you know, if it's mommy that told me now, Max, share with joy, but that means that his eyes have, yes. So that is it. So all those are indices to measure your level of response. You understand? So those things, you need to check them. So please, let's look those little, your sister will tell you, don't, you cannot obey. So you are waiting for them to come and call me to tell you to come and sweep. When in our house, Antonia is our woman leader. So she's the one that will tell them. So when she tell them that, see, do this, do that, she will give them work. Some of them will not do it. They will be waiting for me to come and do it. So it's until when I now come, and I say, she will not now talk. She will now be sweeping that. How many work do you alone want to do? Why will your sister tell you to do something? So you are waiting. So if I'm the one that said you to say you doing that, you quickly sweep. That's not a sign of submission. That's not a sign of obedience. When you get your husband, you will do it. So learn now. Also, this thing is accountability. All those things that all those character of life that God is bringing. It is very, very, very important. So it's in the household that you are going to learn those things. Amen. I think finally, my brethren. Amen. 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 So he said that it takes one of the things that Daddy said, that it takes a saved soul to raise men. You see, of course, I know that they are still raising us. All of us, our soul is still getting saved. But we should not sit back, because that's what I used to do before, until all this understanding started coming. I used to feel that, in fact, before, if you know me before, I'm on this chair, I'm ready to preach, I'm ready to talk to anybody, I can face it. But I just realized there was one coldness. I just felt, I have a lot of things that the Lord wants to do in my life. So I want to wait until I grow. But then, that's not the case. According to what they are teaching us, according to the training that we got, it's from that level that you are, whatever level you are, I think I said it before, that from that place, you should be able to be command. When you see unrighteousness, start judging it at that level. The little light that you have, use it to judge the darkness that is presently with you at that time. So don't wait until that time. Do the ministry. Say, somebody tell somebody that do the ministry.
Do the
work of the ministry at your workplace, in school. You know, do the work of the ministry. When you are writing the exam, it should not be you that will be cheating. You are a student. You should not cheat. Yes. Yes, now it's common. And when I was on campus, they fought me. I didn't have so much light. I didn't even know where my life is going. But I don't cheat. I sit in front. Why? It was Holy Ghost. There was no pastor that is going to tell me. I just knew that once I come out of that exam, Holy Ghost will be... I don't know if Holy Ghost, I'm knowing, but me only wow, okay in my heart. That's how we are supposed to be. You should start from there. Don't cheat. Sit and write whatever you have read. And that's why you must not be lazy. So that you must not fail. Like Ruke were like this, she knows she must not fail. She must not fail.
Hallelujah.
So you have to do your whatever you're
Hallelujah.
Supposed to do. Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together? Thank you, Sister Gillian. We have a very short time. We have to go directly to the last speaker tonight. We also will be blessed again. Hallelujah. I saw at some point some people were distracted. Please, this is not a lesser meeting. These blessings coming to us are blessings from the Lord. Please, as much as possible, let your heart be focused. Let your heart be focused. Don't undermine that which God is communicating through this platform. The Lord will help us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening, Associate Pastors. Sister, I don't know where to start from now. Since she has combed everything. Okay. I just want to start from where Daddy started from. Psalm 68, verse 11, the scripture said that, 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Okay, so this is the burden of WOPAC. And Daddy said, the great company need to often be refreshed by the burden of the Lord, by the vision of the Lord, by the grace of the Lord for the work of the Lord or for the kingdom to be established on the earth. Okay, so he also defined who a laborer is, who a worker is. He used the word, from a Greek word, synergio, which means a companion or fellow laborer or something like that. In saying that, he said laborers are those who want to see the vision of the Lord accomplished on the earth. Now, they may not be at the forefront, but they are committed to the vision of the Lord. Okay, so, and then he also mentioned something about the difference between a local assembly and then ministry. That a ministry may just be, focus or stereotype or is sent to do a particular work. Meanwhile, local assembly should be diverse, should be all-encompassing or holistic. And in being holistic, we must see to all the aspects that the Lord is actually pointing to. And that is the reason for WOPAC. Now, as laborers in a local church, we must first of all be committed to growth. Now, that is our primary assignment. In Mark 3, I think Mark 3, where he said that Jesus called the disciples to be with him so that he can send them forth. So, first of all, our primary assignment is salvation, to be with the Lord, to be like the Lord. Now, in being like the Lord, that is where we'll also develop capacity to do the work of ministry. Now, if we are not committed to, we are not devoted to growth, we will not be able to give expression to the will of the Lord. Now, because the Lord, aside the Lord being revealed in us, he must also be revealed through us. Now, being revealed through us, Daddy said something that really touched me, and I know that WOPAC is for all of us to repent.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not seeing it from the aspect of, okay, I'm doing this, I'm already doing this. I'm seeing it that the Lord wants us to access a grace. And because of that, we must all repent. Now, there are a lot of areas where the Lord pointed out through Daddy that we must pay attention to for the vision of the Lord to be accomplished. Now, if we don't pay attention to those things, if you are stereotyped, if you are not flexible, we will not be able to be useful in the hand of the Lord. So we must not be myopic. We must not be short-sighted. We must not just be... used the word. He said sometimes it is because we don't want to die that we are saying that, okay, I just want to grow. You know, there's a sense to which, okay, you just want to sit in church and then just listen and keep listening and keep listening. Come again, listen. And then you just want to develop your vocabularies, just no more, no rhymes, no different things. But much more, as we are growing, one of the indices that we are growing is that responsibility will be placed on our shoulders. So if you are saying you are growing, then you will be committed to sacrifice. You will be committed to things that the Lord is committed to. Now, as a member in a local church, you will be committed to your unit. Because you know that what the unit is all about is about achieving the purpose of the Lord. Now, there's an aspect that the Lord has committed to each unit. There's something that every unit is to do. I'm just saying in a local church now, there's something that every unit is to do in there's a supply that every unit is to supply in a local church. Now, if you are growing, you'll be committed to that project. So it's not just because growth is not just it's not abstract. If you are growing, handling mic. That's not growth. Growth is being committed to what the Lord is committed to. Now, the Lord as chief shepherd sets men over assemblies, and those men, they actually cast the burden of the Lord for each unit. So, in you being responsible in your unit, you are also being committed to the Lord. So I saw that I must be very committed to the vision of my unit leader if I'm going to be a laborer indeed. Now, there are a lot of folks that Paul talked about that they were not necessarily handling mics, but they were not necessarily doing things that were very obvious, but they were very faithful with the little or wherever they find themselves. So I must be very faithful to the things that is committed to my hands. Now, going further, Daddy also mentioned that as a local church must be able to receive from ministry grace in the body. Now, proving graces in the body. Now, because one of the our limitation in achieving the will of God for our generation is that when our bowel is short and we cannot receive from ministry that the Lord has set in the body, we'll be limited. So because of that, we must also, like Daddy said, we must appreciate what God is doing in the body. Now, that is used the word. He said that the purpose of the law cannot be achieved by a church. The will of God for a generation, a church cannot achieve it. So, because of that, we must be meek enough to receive from people, and then also to be able to also give. Now, Daddy mentioned something about Jesus going to cities and villages, in that we don't choose our assignment. The Lord chooses our assignment for us. You can't determine where you want to be placed, your placement in the work. It is the Lord. As you grow, as you are committed to the Lord, you find the Lord's grace will come upon you as you are submitted to the authority in local church. The grace of the Lord will come upon you, and then you will be able to, the grace of God will be able to find expression. That is said, there are some things that the set man is actually holding. That because people have not grown into, they've not developed stature, he's still holding it. But until people grow up, that is when those burdens will rest, or those expressions or ministries will rest upon people like that. And because the man of God is there to, he said, for the work of the ministry, is to help us see the work of the ministry. Now, some of us, it's very hard for us to, when we find ourselves inside a cab. Daddy shared his experience when the last service team retreat, how that he needs to preach maybe in the street and all that, and then so he met someone that preached to him inside the bus. Now, for some of us, it is very hard for us to open our mouth. Sometimes we find even impressions of the Lord to open our mouth and just share the love of God to somebody whose spirit is dead. And we just feel, you cannot express yourself. You cannot come down to, that is say you are not high. Now, because the Lord wants us to be able to, the Lord wants to reach the ends of the earth. And if he's going to reach the ends of the earth, Daddy may not be able to reach the ends of the earth. It is, okay, Pastor said he cannot. Now, that is the reason for equipping everyone, so that wherever we find ourselves, we are extension of Daddy, or of the Lord, or the grace of God upon Daddy. So, we must have a large heart. We must see holistically. We must not be short-sighted. Okay. Another thing, another burden that I want to talk about discipleship. Daddy spoke about discipleship as passing on the values, that we must be committed to passing on values. He spoke about apostolic people, and he said that apostolic people, they are first of all committed to growth, and then they are also committed to mission. I think Daddy made mention of something like that. So I found out that if I'm committed to growth only, in a sense, and I'm not apostolic in my mindset, the work that God has done in me I will not be able to transfer it. Yes. I must be very intentional about transferring the value. That is one of the burdens of discipleship. Now, you will see in the scriptures how that in Genesis 4, it talked about the generation of Adam. How that Adam begat, and Adam lived and then begat. Now, I believe that living is not just, okay, just breathing in, breathing oxygen and all that. It is passing on value. He's living, he was teaching and training his children. And because of that, the next generation also, they took it upon themselves, not just growing, they were living, and they were deliberate about passing on the values. So that, because when, if we don't pass on the values, the earth will be cursed. We are to, one of the reasons why we are passing on value is to preserve the earth. So we must be conscious of that, that we are preserving a people for the Lord. We must make sure that the chain of value of the kingdom is not broken. It is from one generation to the another. There must not be a time where one generation didn't know the work of a former generation. And we must always be very meek for us to be able to receive the grace of the former generation. You can know lingua, you might, like Daddy said, that some of us, we started listening to this message while we were in school. But some of the work of milk were not thoroughly done in us. And we assume that we know a lot of things. And one of the things that milk will instill in us is honor. Honor for fathers. Yeah. Honor for the minister, for the vessels of God. Those who have actually labored ahead. So I'm saying that in saying that I'm growing, in saying that I'm a disciple, I must not just be stereotype. I'm sorry, I'm going back to that. Okay. Can we see Second Samuel? Okay, 23:4-5. I just want to talk about day two. Sorry, Pastor. I would just say this to round it up. Okay. David was saying something about he that must lead, he that must be a leader of Israel and all that. He said from three. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Okay, next verse. And it shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without cloud, as the tender grass springing out of the air by clear shining after rain. Next verse. This is David when he was about to pass on. Okay, he said, although my house be not so with God. Now, that means that David also still acknowledged that he has not done some things well. Even though he said, yet he had made me an everlasting covenant. So I was seeing how that I must, this is the mind of someone that is after salvation, is after the kingdom, is concerned about his house. Now, that my house is may not necessarily be a family. My house, of course, first of all, my members within, and then my neighbor. So I saw that David was particular about that, but God had mercy upon him, such that if, because one of the things I noticed about saint was that Eli, the Lord said something about Eli, and he was rebuked, but Samuel saw the same thing, but he was not able to reproduce the same thing. He also, I'm sorry to use the word, he didn't do well, because it was because his children were not walking in his way. That is why Israel asked for king. So I noticed that it's not enough for us to just be to say, okay, the former generation didn't do well. You can say that, you can even see that, but you must be committed to salvation. When I'm committed to salvation, I will also be committed to people around me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Gillian. I'm sure if you had more time, you would have, you know, belted out more, but we thank God for that which heaven has brought to us. I think one final note he was trying to communicate to us was how to transfer the values that we have received. That even though we, you know, receive things from our parents, those things can stop with us if we are not careful. but our household should also be preserved. I want us to bow our heads to the Lord tonight, that the Lord God will help every heart in this place, that will be faithful to the work of the Lord in our generation, that will truly be disciples who are willing to pay the price every day. We will lay down our lives, we will count the cost and follow the Lord. We will see to it that our homes are saved. We see to it that the values of the Lord are transferred, that they do not end with us, but by the grace of God, we will pass them on for many more to also find life in the name of Jesus.
Can we still receive grace tonight? The Lord is our strength. Can we draw grace from the ministrations from the brethren? Let's receive refreshing and grace and the supply of the Spirit. Father, we receive grace. We ask for your help tonight. We are reminding ourselves of the core values that you brought to us last week during the Workers' Conference. We receive mercy, grace to make proper adjustments. We ask for mercy upon this community. And Lord, you have set, given us marching orders as a community. And Lord, we are not looking back anymore, Lord. We are receiving grace and strength to build according to pattern. We receive your mercy tonight. We receive your grace tonight. I pray for everyone that is here tonight. The Lord, you will strengthen each one. You grant them sufficient grace, sufficient wisdom, sufficient might to be doers of what you have heard. The Lord, that will not be hearers alone, but doers of the work. Having supplied sufficient grace, Lord, we connect with great faith in our hearts and we go out in that same faith to work out those things that you have given us. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' most precious name we are praying. Can we appreciate all the reviewers? Thank you. Okay. You guys tried. I still wanted more from you anyway. But you did a lot of job. I know it's not easy to capture the burden of those meetings, but it's imperative that we remind ourselves that we should go back and listen to them, okay? We should find time, and I think we can put a structure in place very soon, after Image and Glory Conference. The reason is because WOPAC is not just teaching doctrine. We have been teaching doctrine before. And we'll keep teaching doctrine. Neither is it like a conference body. WOPAC is giving direction to building. That's why everything in WOPAC is apostolic in nature. It is supposed to define the building of this local church. Can we all say amen? Amen. So what the Lord gave us, I think that this year's WOPAC is even different from the last three editions that we have done. Because now we have templates to build with. Okay? This is how you build. You see, I'm coming to understand this. You can be in these waters and you don't have wisdom to build. Yes, you just find out that we have run for years and we cannot really pinpoint of clear definitions in certain aspects. And I know we have been building this thought for a while, particularly for local churches. The churches emerging in these waters are fairly new, and it takes a lot of grace to wait on the Lord for clarity, for patterns for building. There is always temptation to lift patterns from the modern church. And that's one thing that the Lord must grant grace to the senior pastors of the different local churches to be able to spearhead fresh patterns. Can we all say amen? Amen. Particularly that our building will be very close to the first century church in terms of apostolic wisdom. So that's why I keep saying that conferences is the beginning of this work. We'll keep having conferences, large meetings and all that. But the strength of this work is the wisdom behind raising strong local churches. So that's why I began. I don't know, maybe it was day two that I said that when they were asking the late Kennedy again, he gave gifts to men. I recommended the book. It's a very good book. And he said that there are two things the Lord will be doing in the last days. One, the first thing he said, the Lord will be building strong local churches. The second one, he said, he will be teaching men to flow in the Spirit. So it's very imperative of us to flow in the Spirit. Means you're a strong disciple anyway. That's using my words just to paraphrase it. So I believe that God just gave us what I call template for building and teaching us how to build. It's been a burden for a while because if if we don't have clarity to know how exactly we should build or how, or the Lord's expectation concerning us, we will not be able to eat a particular mark in the spirit. Can we say amen? Amen. So like I normally share, the house that Solomon built, like Sister Yonju was reminding us this evening, that you see clear demonstrations of wisdom is not abstract. Wisdom is not in how we can share stuff. No, wisdom is in conversation. First, in conversation of lifestyle. Second, in the conversation of our corporate gathering. When somebody comes into our corporate gathering, there's a dimension of wisdom that they can see just by the way the brethren conduct themselves in their relationship with one another, in their relationship with their leaders, in their positioning in the spirit. A wise man can pick the state of an assembly just by spending some time. That's what Sheba came to do. Sheba came to access the house of Solomon. She had heard of the wisdom of Solomon and she came to see. So I appreciate that because and I've always said that now a lot of people will hear this message. They can hear a message online. And it's one thing for them to hear a message online. It's another thing for them to come to the assemblies. It means that what they should see should surpass what they hear. That's what Sheba said eventually. She said, I've heard of your greatness, so I've heard of your wisdom, but see, what I'm seeing far, far, far outweighs what I've heard. And I keep saying that is what wisdom is. So that's why I said the strength of wisdom is a strength for building. Wisdom has built a house. Wisdom always builds. So strong disciples. And I said discipleship is at levels. Holy Ghost disciples, Christ disciples, disciples of the Father, sons of God. I use the word disciples deliberately so that we understand that it is a progressive journey. Can we say amen? Amen. And when we go back into scripture and see that the church grew, the church did not get to Father before they started doing some things. That's why we have scriptures there as validation for how to measure growth and development. So we have a lot of things that we have conceived as ideologies that are not really accurate. We may have believed something and it's not so accurate. It is as we progress in light and we check patterns in scripture, this thinking is not really accurate. Well, we just simply by the grace and mercy of God put it aside. And we have humility to learn. And look at how things are done as the Lord instructs. So when you see the way the churches evolved progressively. Then we saw, one of the things I saw in the church, they had a strong discipleship culture. I was still telling mommy some days ago, I said, that is what we have to adopt. I said, this will be hard because that's the only way you can transfer values. I actually thought initially that people can hear, when they hear, they pick it. I found out that it's not like that for most cases. Now, if I use my own template of growing, I used to think that, but I just found out that, and I found out that for some of us, that probably God had high for to lead work in this season. God particularly policed us. And I saw that it was not just by happenstance. I just felt that was a normal thing. Okay? But I found out that it was God policed us in a very unique way. There was a lot of crash program, a lot of leading. God had it in mind that by the grace and mercy of God, we'll lead a walk. Yes, and then he will now start bringing culture on how things should be done properly. So a lot of disciples don't just evolve. People don't just come to church, come every day, go to church, and they grow. I used to think it was like that. And I found that, okay, this person has been in church for 5 years. But the person is not growing because it's just like leaving a child by themselves. They don't grow. So discipleship is that there is a structure and culture that makes, growth what? Personal, monitored, accountable. And that's how growth is. The number one problem is that nobody accepts that they are children. When it comes to church, everybody is an adult. Do you know my age? They need to show you how you are in the spirit. Because all of us are seated there with different physical bodies and age. But that's how we are spiritually. We are different ages in the spirit. So we have to recover thorough discipleship. First thing. That's one thing that the Pentecostal church lost. They lost it. It didn't start that way. Like I've said, when you study movements of church, there were some movements that did not even have it. I'm sorry to say, the CAC Revival did not have discipleship. And it's one of the reasons why you could see that there's not so much harvest of fruits in terms of lifestyle and character. What SDL thing came to do was to bring discipleship. He came with the word and also a handsome, but Elijah was not discerned. So the work was, the heaven did not, I believe that there will have been more profiting from that work if there was a better form of wisdom for building, which I believe that, Apostle Babalola was an apostolic evangelist in the area of miracles. SGLT was an apostolic teacher in the area of word. So God brought them to balance the work. So they were supposed to work together. Of course, they could not work together. People lightly divided them. But I heard that towards the end, they became close. But Babalola died earlier. He died around 59. There's a lot to learn from that. There was no way with the stress upon him that he could have lived long. The stress was too much. If you live that way, you can't live to 80. If you live that way, the level of stress that was upon him, pressure upon his body, there was no way that would have lived that long. So much was upon him. Even when it came to the people that bore the burden of the evangelical work then, there were men initially. All of them fell off. It remained only him. And all of them fell off based on character issues. One married second wife. Another one was all kind of things. Very sad. And you can see that is a product of poor discipleship. So if discipleship is poor, a move will be lost. No matter how great that move is. Yes, there are great moves. Go and do your research. No matter how great that move is. No matter how strong their message is. I mean, we have strong messages and we cannot keep our marriage. Sure, you understand? It means that we can't go far. If we have strong messages and we cannot raise godly children, we are not going far. So you know that much of this work lies in discipleship. So I'm just saying this so that everybody will tighten for you to think that it's only the work on, you know, there's a mindset. You see, the Pentecostal mindset is that it is the work of the pastors. And that is what we are trying to debunk. Okay? We have labored well in WOPA. For understand that actually the work of ministry should be done by the saints. What did I say? The work of the ministry done by the fivefold is just a first phase of building. It's not everything. Okay? The fivefold are supposed to raise the saints that will now do the work of ministry. Then the body will be edified. So there's a level of edification, for instance, that will not come to City Gate Church if you don't take your place. There's no way I and the pastoral team, no matter how anointed and gifted we are, a majority, for instance, I cannot parent your children for you. I cannot keep your marriage for you. I can teach you all those things. And if you don't go home and submit to your husband, and go home and love your wife, and go home and disciple your children, there's nothing we can do about that. We can't come home and be living with you. Sure, you understand? So that's why I said it's the saints that does the work of ministry. And we have to recover discipleship. We have to recover discipleship model back. We should not lose it. And I can tell you, that's why, like I said, for a word of righteousness, New Testament, we cannot afford to build churches like the charismatic and Pentecostal churches. Later on, they didn't start that way. Their problem started when crowd came. So it's easy to lose culture when crowd came. There was a lot of harvest. Like I was telling my wife, we went to visit one of our sisters in church in the hospital yesterday. So we saw Vine Branch Church. And you know, my wife said, they were so big. I said, all of them were evangelical churches. Churches then, they were big. Not because the pastors even had specific particular anointing. It was an harvest time. It was a season. If you check churches between 88 and 92, most pastors, or let me say 84, between 84 and 92, all of them were over 5,000. Over. Check major churches that were started, both individual ministries. I'm not even talking about big ministries like Redeem and Deeper Life that started before. I'm talking about ministries pioneered by some of our fathers between 84 and 92. Go and check every one of them. You can do your research. The minimum is 5,000. All of them were mega churches. The reason is because as at that time, God was bringing a lot of harvest into the kingdom. A lot. Moab was telling me that around that time there was a lot of pressure in the economically. That's when, you know, we were from 84. You know, some of us were maybe not born or maybe we're young. There was a lot of military. The military regime brought a whole lot of pressure on the economy, you know. So a lot of people had to turn to God. For instance, winners grew by their breakthrough meetings. That was the secret of Bishop Oyedepo's church growth. When Papa moved from Kaduna to Yanapaja, they began with breakthrough meetings. You know what they say? Breakthrough services. And those breakthrough services was just their strategy for harvest. It was just sickling. It was just like the sickle that was pulling people into winners. And because as at that time, people were looking for direction. You know, so then in those times, most churches for winners, I don't know why I'm saying this, winners had a lot of church plan, church discipleship strategy as at then. Bishop Oyedepo would teach on several areas. So that's why up to now he still does it. Every Sunday, he teaches on something. And, you know, this week, maybe Covenant Day for family life. You know, Covenant Day for financial prosperity. So that was, as at then, it was a fresh wisdom. So he brought a whole lot of direction to building life. Because people, there was not so much wisdom. So he was like, he was a major pioneer in that. And because of that, a lot of people looking for direction, you know, to how they can, you know, use the words to apply on their daily lives, were just coming in. So then you see churches around that time, you know, growing, massive churches. So as they grew more, you understand, the strength of discipleship waned. Because, and let me tell you why. That is not even, it's not because they were weak or they were not faithful. Discipleship is sustainable on quality of men. So there's nobody cannot happen to. And that's why some of us, this kind of work that God is doing, that's why it has not increased numerically so much. It's because God wants to keep quality. I won't lie to you. It does not take anything. Eh? If you look at the level of labor that maybe some of the pioneers, pastors of those work are putting, we should be like, by now, maybe over 5,000. If it's by quantifying the level, I know what I'm talking about. I say this in all meekness. You cannot judge this work by that. God is the one trimming it down. The only reason is because they are particular about quality. To get quality is more harder. So, because normally as the work grows, quality weakens. So eventually the harvest is lost. By the time you are getting to the fourth generation, I mean, the thing cannot be like how it was when it began. So that's why there's a whole lot of work in quality discipleship. Okay, what did I say there is? I want to beg all of us, you matter to this work more than you think. You matter to this work. You can, as you can help this work, you can spoil it. Yes. As you can help it. By helping it is by you choosing to live by what you hear and taking it to your house. I mean, imagine you hearing what I teach. You know, so you get to your house and say, me, I'm not doing what Pastor Meji said. This is my own regime. Shall you understand? You have already killed me. It's not even killed me, sir. It's killed Jesus. But you have killed me because you think that what I'm teaching you is my idea. It means Satan has already deceived us. So you understand? Alignment. We have to keep rank. We have to keep alignment. We have to be committed to walking. If everybody is thinking of their own, what will pay me? Their own personal preferences. The work will not be done. It's one of the things that Satan used to invade the Pentecostal harvest. Selfish ambition. It was too much. There was no way that the work would not eventually lose quality. People were thinking of cashing out. There was a church in this city. It was the first pioneer Pentecostal church in this city. It grew so big. People were pulling out members and starting their own. It was a common thing. Because of course then, the concept of doing your own ministry was very strong. It was strong so much. Satan used the thing to the extreme and weakened the harvest. So but of course, you know that unity is a strength. Is a strength of quality. The more united we are, the more we can preserve quality. Yes, The more divided we are, the more quality weakens. If I, when the more divided we have, we have dilutions. One of the things that destroy the white garment church revival. Because many of you think that they are occultic. You didn't know that they didn't start that way. It was division that finished them. They were so divided that a particular time came that it was easy for Satan to infiltrate them with a lot of, apart from the fact that they had other limitations. But one, they were just, the division was senseless. They divided so much that many became occultic, 100%. Totally taking over. But the original work that Ori Monade started was very pure. Very, very pure. He was a man of the word and a man of the spirit. He even knew word. I heard that he quoted the Bible from Genesis verse by verse, maybe to like Numbers. That's how those men were strong men. We don't know so much of the work done in Nigeria because with it was not documented. So he's only God's general in abroad, you know. We have generals here. You know? We are generals here too. So I'm only saying why we must be particular about discipleship. And we are preparing your mind because it will be strong. You may think that they are controlling. For instance, their household church is a wisdom for discipleship. And we just began. We're just warming up. If we can do that thing well, we're going to enjoy the product years after. We will enjoy the produce. Where our households are not just given to our households are discipleship and equipping centers. We don't know how the church structures will be in the future. A time can come in the next 50 years, 30 years, that we will not be able to gather like this. If we don't have strong households, we will lose the harvest. So you can see. So what God did for us in WOPAC was to give us a pattern for building. Strong discipleship. Strong families. Strong churches. You can't have a strong church without strong households. Not just strong marriages, strong households. We cannot have strong churches without strong households. So I'm saying this, I'm trying to evangelize your hearts to believe in what God is doing in our midst. And let's pattern together and build this way. Because that's the only way we can sustain the quality of what is happening. Okay? Can we all say amen? So it takes a lot of labor to shape men into the character of Christ. It takes a lot of labor. Labor in time, labor in prayers, labor in saying the same thing over and over again. I found out that man does not hear at once. We don't hear at once. So even as a pastor, I'm looking into this. We're looking at a stronger structure. I've said I'll meet with the pastors. We're going to look at it. How we can retain more. We give more than we are retaining. And I'm looking at how can we retain more now. We need strong retentive structures. We have said many things that we have forgotten. In fact, we will say something in January. By June, you have forgotten. Because it's too much. What I mean is too much. Not like it's too much. We don't have as much retentive structure than what is coming out. So if we have like 100% coming out, capacity for retaining is 20%. It means we cannot account for 80%. And that's some of the challenges we have. So that's why at times we have to go back and teach that's why we are teaching things again. I heard that wisdom for Kennedy again. He said he teaches one message about 19 to 20 times. Yes. Again and again. He says because in most times people say, yeah, yeah, yeah. They did not agree. At times when they agree mentally, they are still fighting if they want to agree. So somebody goes with them and says, I'm not doing household. But when he heard this, he agreed. He could not disagree. Because the accuracy and the power of which the word came was clear. At that instant, you know that, truth in God's person, so on, boboa. But when you got home, between when you left this place and when you got home, you fellowship with many things. And you thought it was your thought. And you just, she won't go in your mouth, God dog basha. You see everything that we have to agree? You still have your mind. You think that it's you thinking. So it's not you thinking. Spirit's waiting for you at the door. The familiar spirit that is sent to monitor you. When you come to church, he waits for you. Yes. By the time you are going, he continues his work.
by, he knows everything they said. So we say, so she he walked by when God was saying. Ah, me ogba, him no so. Oh, you go back. If not, you'll be a fool. So for a thought to even settle in your heart, it may take 1 year for you to agree. Not agree in your mind. You agreed in your mind. Somebody not even agree in their mind. They didn't agree here. But some agreed here, but they didn't agree here. So you have to keep saying it and pushing it and saying it and pushing it until the heart agrees. So that's why I say the work of... So let's not be quickly discouraged. Because we will see ourselves and we'll be discouraged with ourselves. Yes. See, if I don't say something like this, so that you don't say, I'm not doing it again. This thing is not working. It's working. It takes time. Yeah. If you don't see it this way, even you yourself, you'll be discouraged with yourself. How many things have you said you will do that you do not do? Sit down there and write all the things you said you will do in January. January is the best month of everybody. January is the best month. Everybody's on top. All the things that you said you will do. How many have you done? Some you even said you will do this day, I will lose weight. Have you got to pay for gym before you didn't go to the gym? I remember when me and mommy, we did gym for about 3 years. It was war going to the gym. It's the money that we at times will remember. Because at times you will wake up, you don't want to go. Same thing. You said this year you'll be praying 2 hours. Okay. And then at times, rain will fall. Rain will fall around 4 o'clock to 5:30. And you did not sleep well. There was heat. So, and, you know, when that rain fell was the time where the sleep was just entering your soul. I'm telling you, it takes a lot of warfare. It takes a lot of warfare to be a Christian. Christianity is not convenient. If you want to be a normal Christian, biblical standard, you will war with flesh every single day. Every single day. Of course, there is grace available. Grace does not mean you will not feel pain. No. Grace is just that you delight in what you are doing more than the pain you are feeling. That's just it. You will feel losses. You will feel denials. But you are just committed more to doing that which is true. And that is more exciting than the denials you are going through. So we have to tell ourselves, okay, this, okay, it takes a lot of time. And that is what we are committed to. Okay, so we are not wasting our time. Don't think we are wasting time. Why are they always doing this? Why are they always doing that? You know? So maybe by next year, some other clarity will come about things that the Lord will demand from us anyway, corporately. Secondly, discipleship must be intentional. You see, in this part, and I want to say this, we have emphasized so much on lifestyle discipleship, which is perfect and will always be perfect. What do I mean by lifestyle discipleship? I'm just committed to growing, and that's my focus. Every other thing is secondary. It's true, but we also need to pay attention to that. The reason is because it's not exactly like that scripturally. You see, at times when we say something, it's because it was an emphasis in a season. And it came with a lot of weight. That does not mean that is how it will be forever. This is where it's difficult for us. Even as leaders, you can define something 10 years ago. 10 years after, you need to now add another block. The block you now had will now be a stronger emphasis than what you said 10 years ago. Yes, and I mean, to say that we are humble and that we did not know all things when we started, it means that some of the things that you are now saying may now edit even what you said before. It will edit it. It will be more clearer. It will bring more grace and authority. Or it will be more relevant to the current season. Can we say amen? For instance, I said, so discipleship is not just lifestyle. When I mean that, okay, I'm just focused on my work with God. Whatever comes out of that, fine. Thank God for that, but that cannot, that's not complete. That's not complete. Discipleship is intentional. That's why you say Jesus, say go ye. He used it deliberately. I checked that word go ye means go ye. It was a command. Go ye. It was a command. Go ye therefore. He was talking not just, he was not talking to converts. So. He was talking to disciples that he has spent some time with. So in my mentality, there is a responsibility that comes on you, what I call apostolic mindset, that is an outflow of your growth. There's a time Bright was talking to me in one sense, and he was talking another. He said, how long have you been in these waters? I said, you should not be talking this way. At least you have been in this water since school days. By now, there are things of God you must have mastered. He said, if you are thinking this way, then we are defeated. Can't be thinking this way. You have been poured into so much. It means heaven. It's not just heaven. Your leaders are also expecting from you. Can we say amen? Are nobody saying amen? Amen? Responsibility to even intentionally transfer what the things that you have learned. So you should be able to pastor campus students. Bright should be able to do that conveniently. I don't need to be worried about what is happening in UI. If the likes of Bright are there, because from school days they were in the waters. So now that there are younger students coming in, we should be able to deploy them. And they'll do a thorough job. And I say, I'm still growing. So that's why I'm not doing it well. So will we flog you, sir? You can do punishment. Because it means that you have... As a matter of fact, when you are not standing strong in your responsibility, it is love of the world. But what do you think happened to Demas? Mommy was reading out workers, you know, names of workers. There was a day he said, Demas greet you. Demas was greeting them in Romans chapter 16, or is it Colossians 4? By the time they read 2 Timothy chapter 4, Demas has left Paul. And Demas, Paul did not say that, he says, for Demas are forsaking me. He didn't say forsaking the Lord. You know, there are many things that you have today. Say, I didn't forsake the Lord, I just left somebody. Currently, there's something going on in Monista, a lot of shaking. You know, Chris Reed has left, you know, from, you know, the leadership of Monista. And of course, Baba talked that how can you abandon the whole flock and go? He said, I didn't abandon the flock, I only left the ministry. You can see. Shall you understand? Me, I left ministry. Right now, I said, you abandoned the flock. So, this statement of Paul, some people will rationalize it. Of course, this was a private epistle to his son. So another person said, No. The God not, you know, Demas also has his plan. And that is it. But you look at Paul saying, he says, for Demas as for sake, having yes. Love of this word, me. Shall you understand? What is a simple thing? He didn't say as forsaking the faith. Demas did not forsake the faith. Demas forsake Paul. Demas was Paul's co-worker. So Demas forsake Paul, but he, of course, the Bible did not say he left the faith. I'm just showing you these designs because these things are in scripture for a purpose. So I'm saying that discipleship is intentional. There are some grounds we will not cover if we are not intentional, if we don't have apostolic mentality as saints. You are going abroad for money. And you know, thank God that you mentioned the Pentecostal church. That was how they were. That's how they spread. Said, it doesn't matter. It's salvation of the soul I'm seeking. Yes, you're seeking salvation of the soul. But salvation of the soul that you are seeking makes you prioritize your work more than the gospel. Sir, there's nothing happening in your life. There's nothing happening in your life. Or look on, sir. His word. It means that you are telling me that now that you are being saved in your soul. And the responsibility of people coming to know Jesus or coming to contact the word of righteousness is not the first thing that you are committed to. You don't have any walk with God. It's only knowledge you have. Because to me, I don't see the difference.
Yes, sir.
You cannot even divide the two. It's one. If I am growing up to know the Lord more, if I'm saved more, that passion will be reflected in everything I do. It should be reflected in my work. It will be reflected in everything I do. It's become the primary passion. You will go for studies in a university abroad, and the first thing you are thinking about is how the light will shine in that place. It's part of it. As you are growing and responding to the Lord, that is also a component of your growth. Anyway, we'll look at that more. Because, I need to say, discipleship is intentional. It's the same thing for marriage. Now, you know, it looks as if I'm hard on marriage. I used to have that feeling. If I have sold, I wanted to tell Pastor Jimmy, just take over. Let me leave these people alone. Take over. You and Dr. Etuabase agree. If you feel that somebody is going to marry, I don't want to get involved directly. Because some people may not marry. Left to me. And I don't want to make some people sad all the rest of their life. As they are coming to church, it's sadness that is on their face. I don't want to cause. But it's just there's just something I have in my heart. The concern is the why, the purpose. Because I'm thinking that the home is a ministry front, it's a kingdom front. Now, a lady wants to can be as a lady is growing up. She wants to marry now because she wants to help a man. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. She doesn't want to marry because she's emotionally weak. She's looking for somebody to love her. And that is what most sisters, that's their problem. When you reach a particular age, your emotions are telling you that you need a man. But when you are growing as a disciple with this mindset, you understand the demands of the kingdom. You understand the responsibility attached to family building. You are the one, Lord is building you, and you are saying, God, which man? Bring a man that I will help.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's a different mentality.
Yes, sir.
We are talking from two different standpoints.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Same thing for a man. He is looking for a woman to love. And represents that dimension of Christ, called husband. Now, that is like that standard looks like for a forever. If I should pitch that standard there, sir. Some people may never marry. So we have to make compromises. So you will marry, but you will be growing. That is if you are, because you see, that is if you still agree to grow. Listen to me very well. Marriage can be distracting. Once you marry, there's something to do every day that will never make you, say, allow you to follow this thing I'm saying. Bills will be there. Issues will be there. So you are trying to tackle bills. You are trying to tackle this. You are trying to tackle family demand. You are trying to tackle societal demand. So you can, by the time you know, 10 years of marriage has gone.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So the concept of the fact that this home or this union is for the Lord, that reality may never play out until maybe years after. That is if you are even fortunate. Now, this is what I'm saying. Amen. You must be committed to living out the word. It starts from there. This word will not succeed if all of us choose not to be committed to living out this word. That's number one. Secondly, what I mean to not succeed is that we will not be a witness to it. God can wait for another generation. We are not the first person that will say anything. Rest. Salvation of the soul. The habitation of God. So we are not the first. If God sees that we are not serious, God forbid, if we wait another 200 years, all of us die here. And even our children that we are carrying here, all of us are gone. God can choose to start again. After everybody is gone, God just takes a nap. If a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, what's a nap with the Lord like? God just closes his eyes. Just take a short nap. 300 years has gone. All of us are gone. Then he will open his eyes and say, okay, let me start again. Yes, now. Let me start again. Maybe I can find a generation that will be willing to do my will the way I want. So discipleship is intentional, okay? There's an intentional aspect of discipleship. And that is what we are trying to impart also, okay, into us as workers. Everybody should be a worker. So I don't want to be a worker. You don't understand what working is in you. You think it's kind of mind. You think it's singing choir. Those are just the very basic. Those are just the basic aspects of work. It's to be a laborer. Laborer first in you laboring to grow. That's your first labor. Your first labor is to save your soul. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me round up with this. It's to first save your. That's your first work. So you're a worker. Because you must do the work of him. The work of him is to do his will. Jesus said in John 4, verse 34, he says, my will is to do the work. My food is to do the will of him and to finish his work. So work is will. So when you are doing the will of God, who are you? A worker. All of us should be workers. So I'm not a worker. it's a will of God. Yeah. This is the first definition of a worker. And that's why you want to be also be part of the functional team of a local church. You have to be. Because now we are now running a higher vision beyond the personal vision. So you cannot stay aloof. In Eternal Life Embassy, they call it functional members. So I even like it. It's very heavy. Because it means that if... So, because if you say it, some people can be offended that you are not a functional member. You know what it means not to be a functional member in a physical body? If you have a body and you are not, if your liver is not functioning. So, it's a functional members. Functional members meeting. Sir, they call functional members meeting and you are not there. So, sir, what are you doing, sir? Kilo Philippe, she. You have to identify this. So it means they are saying that you are not function, sir. So I'm just sure everybody. So your first labor is in your growth. What did I say? But there's also additional labor. Now you now have to labor with your leadership to see that the purpose of God for that assembly is done. There's not, so, and that one too is your responsibility. Just like when you grow up in a family, at a particular time, you start carrying responsibilities in the family. It's part of your growth. Some people think that doing household chores is not spiritual. So they just want to read the Bible while others sweep. Well, maybe at this stage, I do less household, maybe minimal household work. But I know that, I mean, for years, even as a married man, was it Isaac that saw me ironing it? Because daddy ain't ironing. I looked at him, I smiled. I said, "Oh, iron to me, sir." And it's not. I was not boasting. I've been ironing since. I can't remember. I was ironing maybe since age 8. Ironed into marriage. Or you see me driving? Say, are you the one driving? I've never seen daddy drive before. It means you are grandchildren. Because I drove for many years. I will preach and I will drive. I used to travel initially. I drive myself to travel. It was later that Bro David and Bro Ewa said, see, it's irresponsibility that this man of God will preach and will drive again. Let us now be doing rotation of taking responsibility of your driving. That's how it started. Before Ima came. But I was the one driving. If I go to Lagos, Beacon, I drive. To and fro. If you want to go and minister in Oyo, I drive. If you want to go and minister in Ife, I drive. And after I finish preaching, I drive back. At times, some people just think that you just arrive at the place where they are driving you. Or Gaza. Sakoribe. We did everything. In this church, we did everything. Myself and mommy were part of sanctuary. We will go and clean on Saturday because then the church, when we started, was a school. So we had to prepare it for service. We were there together, doing everything together. I didn't sit on my own. I was calling people. Hey, have you cleaned the hall? We will clean it together. I used my car to carry load to church. So your first labor is to grow. No doubt about it. Then additional labors is that whatever God has done in you, you have to transfer also to others. So if the quality of life in this church dwindles, it cannot be my responsibility. You cannot say, I'm pastor, not teacher, that. So it means that there's a problem wrong. Now look at it. What if Paul handed over to Timothy and Timothy did not find faithful men? There will be anger at the level of the transition from second to third generation. So Paul, first generation, second generation, Timothy, third generation, faithful men, fourth generation, others. So you can now see that it's a chain. Everybody have their own part to play. So that idea of Sidon and just, you know, whatever happens, happens. If anything goes wrong, it's not my responsibility. Those are the things that we are changing with this new mindset of building. I'm not hearing your amen. Amen. So we have to build strong discipleship into our households. Okay, so we have an household meeting on Saturday. Let's see how far we are built. And let's correct, strengthen. I think this is our third meeting or so, second meeting. We have just started. We still have a whole long way to go. So the Lord will help us, okay? The Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. So we will need to develop stronger culture in the house for discipleship. We are going to announce that soon. Everybody should have an oversight. Everybody. Nobody should not be in charge and not have an oversight. My wife said, that's if you do it. Is it going to be like that? I said, that's the only way it will work. The only reason why some people are not turning well is that they don't have people overseeing them. There are no pastors directly overseeing them. They don't have somebody that they can call them and say, Toby, have you prayed today? Now, you know, you can afford to pray for 1 week if nobody's asking you. I am telling you. You can afford to pray. Some people can be in this church, they don't pray for 2 weeks. There was no way we'll never come and say, woo! Inside the building. Everybody will meet Amirisa. What's the Lord 2 weeks ago? She Bible. Of course, I hope you don't use gift to measure. Go, only professor, sir. But for 2 weeks, the person has gone. Nothing. There's no engagement. But there's no way you will know. There's no way. Of course, and we don't even ask such questions because we're assuming everybody is spiritual. Everybody is doing well in the Lord. So even when we are gisting, gist walking, we're really seeing. Our gist does not enter those areas. So bright, I hope you are doing well. Are you praying well? How is prayer for you? How many minutes do you even do? Are you able to? Can you do 20 minutes? Are you 30 minutes? How's the Lord granting you grace? You don't talk around that area. You know, some of our gist is so shallow. It doesn't enter some areas like that. So somebody can be having challenges and the person can survive our church. Because so we have to change the whole arrangement. There has to be oversight. I like the way our parents raised us up. Let me just go see that. He's your elder brother. That was your direct oversight. And then when my mommy get distribute household course, she will distribute household course, but she will put a leader in charge. That will oversee. The leader too is working, but the leader is now overseeing if everybody is doing their own portion. So I remember we will cut grass then. Because before my daddy tired the compound of our house, it was just bare floor, sand, soil. So grasses, weed grows. So we have to cut. No, nobody likes cutting grass. I don't know. Maybe there are people here that like cutting grass. So, but my mom's idea of cutting grass is owing. So after you, if you use cutlass or clay, it's just first work. You now go back and use owe and now root it from inside. Then you sweep it neatly and pack it and burn in one place. A lot of labor. So some of us will not want to do it well. We will cut and not cut well. We will cut well and not park in one place. We will park in one place and not forget. We'll forget to burn. Because doing all those instructions is taxing on the soul. So somebody has to follow through because the person that follows will have to account to mommy when she comes. And the person will take blame for you not doing your own. So the person will stay on your neck. So that everybody does their work. So that is why we need oversight. Those that are a little bit older can oversee their younger ones. And then the likes come. When we do that, a lot of people will even be pressured to grow. When you know that you are supposed to oversight over another younger saint, it will also put pressure on you. You are asking somebody if they pray and you are not praying. Your conscience will tell you, you're broken here. It's good. In fact, that's why I tell you that most ministers, ministry was designed to save them. When you come into ministry, you're not helping God. God allow ministry. If you do ministry well, you will grow. Because you cannot afford not to pray. If you are tired of not praying, you'll be telling yourself that. Should you understand? So if everybody has that responsibility sense that I am responsible, there's a way it puts you on the tiptoe, even both a character wise. So you know, if you're a pastor, you can't be fighting Gidi Bunta. You know you're a pastor. You know, if you're a pastor, you're supposed to be a respected person. Now, imagine if you know that, you know, having a sense that you're a pastor. If somebody even cheats you inside the bus, maybe they don't want to give you your change. With pay, you will leave the change. When you just say, maybe somebody can see you. I'm telling you, I'm just laughing. If that thing has a sense of helping the soul, you are conscious that you are not living for yourself alone. So discipleship too is like that. Discipleship puts pressure on you to live well. So that's why Paul told Timothy. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto what? The doctrine. Continuing them. For in doing so, thou shalt what? You will save thyself and what? Them that hear thee. It's not only pastors that you have people that everybody should have people that hear you. People that hear you are people that look up to you. Everybody should have one person. At least you have one person looking up to you. If there's nobody looking up to you, you're a baby. Somebody must look up to you. Maybe you are six sisters in a room. And out of those six sisters, other sisters are looking up to you. It means you are the elder in that place. And if even if you are the elder, there is a most senior elder, there's another younger elder. If that person is not there, people are still looking up to you as the next. Believe me or not, they may not call you anything, but there's a sense that. So if you are sleeping, you have killed every other person. Because maybe somebody is still trying to struggle to wake up, and is still finding grace to wake up, and they now see that somebody that is our egbon. me, I'm even trying. They just have confidence to sleep. That's the soul. Yeah. It takes some level of maturity to reject that and go and pray. Yeah. So we are supposed to help each other. Can we all say amen? I'm not hearing your amen. So the Lord will help us. Amen.